Radio FUBAR. Radio f***ed up beyond all recognition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new greatest thing on the internet, Studio FUBAR.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
With your hosts, the loud one, Matt Reefer.
His mind brain is permanently rejecting his real identity!
Peter Johnson.
I love that I have an erection that didn't involve homeless people.
But for obvious reasons, we call him Pete. Mr. Producer.
I'm spooning a Barrett 50 cal. I could kill a building.
And the only person who can put up with all of this, Mr. Producer's wife, Pink.
Oh, it's like my heart's being gripped by the icy fingers of some terrifying ghost of honeymoon future.
Here we go again. One more time around the block. You know?
That's a Daft Punk song.
It's that time of month again.
It sounds like you're trying to improvise dialogue.
Just a little bit. Well, what I was going
to
say.
Way to break the fourth wall, fuckhead.
Hey, Deadpool's coming out in a month. That's allowed.
What I was going to say is that this is time for our monthly visitor. We've been a little concerned because we missed. We've been a little concerned because we missed the last couple of months. But it turns out everything's okay and it's back.
The rabbit didn't die.
How you doing, Rhonda?
I'm great. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. We could not get Regina.
No, I couldn't either. But she's in the middle of some sudden craziness.
Right.
So this, if people could understand, the show, doing the show, would actually be sanity compared to what she's
comparatively
dealing.
Yeah.
So that tells you how bad it is.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. She had.
I'm sanity. I just.
Yeah. That is kind of scary.
Thanks for the compliment, Rhonda.
Yes. We are going to do a quick little homage here to the man. Because we were going to do this last month.
I had a birthday party to go to.
Matt had a birthday party to go to, and then, you know, things
Christmas
just happened.
Christmas and New Year. It was a good time to take
right.
a break.
Frank Sinatra would have turned 100 on December 12th. And that was going to be a Saturday, and we were going to do an homage. And our homage was going to be to play Frank Sinatra tunes, but we're not going to do that because
we've got bigger things to discuss today.
I don't want to pay those bills.
I've actually read some of the recent royalty changes. They screw right. the internet radio guys.
So what we've done is Frank Sinatra's signature drink is Jack Daniels and water over ice. So it's just two fingers of Jack, one finger of water over ice. Let it rest for a few minutes and sip. So grab your glasses, and I don't do hard liquor, assuming Pete hasn't drank all his already.
I got like two left.
Okay. Two fingers left.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So we'll go ahead and take a sip.
There you go.
I will say, I am not a big whiskey drinker.
You know, just pour that in my glass. Here we go.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but you know what? Frank Sinatra had something going with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as straight Jack. But
I get, when I'm drinking whiskey, man, I can't stomach it. I can't drink it. I can't drink it at all.
Yeah, I'm sure Pete will drink it. And we do
make
also
him sound like an alcoholic.
He is.
He knows how I feel about whiskey.
So you only drink beer. If you don't do liquor, you just do beer?
Just beer. Yeah, just beer.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't do beer. I just do liquor.
There's a joke there I'm not going to go for.
I was good. Next.
Yeah.
Lightweight.
Yeah.
No.
I've only got one Frank Sinatra story.
What's that?
I'm read, I used to read a lot of autobiographies, and I read the autobiography of Rock Brenner, Yul Brynner's son.
Right.
And apparently he, as a teenage boy, was the bartender for the Rat Pack whenever they got together.
Oh shit.
That's a good job if you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. When they would go to each other's houses, Yul Brynner hung out with them quite a bit, and vice versa. They had the kid doing the bartending.
Yeah.
That sounds about right, now. Knowing those guys.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. No, Frank Sinatra, he is still pretty much, I believe, the highest grossing singer, just because he did over 100 albums, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find his, well, and then plus the movies mm-hmm. and the television shows.
Yeah. And the fact that he was just active forever.
Right. And I'm trying to find how much he made.
At least he didn't coke out like Elvis.
Right.
Yeah, no, he died of pretty much old age. I think he was 85 or something like that when he died.
Probably a little bit of liver failure, too.
He died in 1998. He was born in 1915, so 85, 84, 83. Yeah, he was 82, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, he did have dementia, which kind of made his last few years of shows interesting.
That would have been... Oh.
Because he forgot the words to his own songs while he was on stage.
Ooh.
The weird thing was is that he remembered the music, so he would just start scatting along with it. And just...
Do do do
do do do wop wop. I forgot the word. Doo, 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 doo,
see, if he remembered the words, but everything else was just like half cracked, right. No, that'd have been hilarious. No. That's a good comedy right. act.
No, he remembered the melody.
Okay,
but he couldn't remember the words. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of another story.
Uh oh.
Glenn Campbell's autobiography, Rhinestone Cowboy.
Uh huh.
Glenn Campbell started off as a studio musician.
Right.
He learned to play guitar just by ear. He was just sort of a savant at guitar. He didn't read music at all. And Sinatra was coming in to sing, and Glenn Campbell was going to be one of the studio musicians, apparently.
Oh.
Glenn Campbell was so starstruck, he couldn't quit staring at Sinatra, and Sinatra got creeped out. Right. Was talking to the studio manager, what's wrong with that kid? Is he simple or something? Is there something wrong with him? Right. He's like, no, he's okay. He's fine. He's like, he thinks back on it.
I remember listening to an interview with his road manager, and he said it was kind of funny. You know, Frank was known for being a night owl, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He says, one morning, about 6 or 7 in the morning, we decide it's time to go to bed. And says, we're walking past the slots in Vegas, and there's this, you know, lady, maybe, you know, 40, 50, something like that, just pulling on the machine and crying. And Frank walks up to her and says, how you doing? And she goes, I lost all this money. My husband's going to kill me because I didn't tell him he did it. And he goes, well, how much did you lose? She's like, $100. You know, of course, this is back in the 60s, so $100 bucks is, you know, a lot of money.
That's a decent amount of money, yeah.
He pulls out $500, hands it to her, and says, here, take your $100. The other $4 is mine. Why don't you keep my part? And they're walking away. And Frank says, you know, I feel sorry for her. Manager says, what do you mean you feel sorry for her? She goes, she's going to be walking around for the rest of the day trying to convince everybody that that just happened.
The Bill Murray effect.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, no, he died in 1998, and he's buried out in California. But here's what he was buried with.
This shit.
Obviously, his signature blue business suit that he wore all over the place. Cherry-flavored lifesavers. Tootsie Rolls. A bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yep.
A pack of Camel cigarettes, a Zippo lighter, stuffed toys, and a dog biscuit. I'm guessing he had a dog that he had when he was a kid or something.
Or he's one of those weirdos that actually liked him.
Like dog biscuits? No, I don't think so.
Hey, I got 8 kids in my family. One of them didn't mind eating a dog biscuit. I'm serious.
All right.
True, she is plumb crazy in Wisconsin right now, but...
Yeah. All right.
You know the one I'm talking about.
We're also... Rhonda, I need to figure out a way to ship you guys beer.
Yeah, but I don't drink beer.
Yeah. Well, does your husband drink beer?
No.
No?
What beer?
Well, that's the thing. We go out and we just...
Interesting question, Rhonda.
We just go out...
And Segway.
Just, yeah, we're going to do this like maybe once a month or something like that. Just go out and get a beer, something weird, not overly weird, but just, you know, something that's on the shelf that we've never had before.
Yeah.
It could be a local beer, you know, or something like that. We have something now. It's called Baraboo Lager Red Granite.
A Vienna-style lager made with German hops, caramel malt, and 2-row malted barley.
Right. I'm trying to find the where it's out of. And it does. Here we go. Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Isn't there another beer that came out of Stevens Point?
Yeah, it's just Baraboo Brewing Company, Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
You're thinking New Glarus, but that's not in Stevens Point.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, that's in New Glarus. They were real original with that name.
Matt, where's Rock Island Brewing Company from?
Denver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denver, Rock Island.
So we're just going to give this a shot here.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Ooh.
That's not bad. It's better than the stuff we had last month.
You know how we picked it? Oh, fuck you.
Oh, how did you pick it?
Yeah, how did we pick it?
We picked it because it had the least fanciest box art.
Pretty much, yeah.
We were looking at everything else with, like, there was one that had, like, a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, like, splatter art style, and then all these others that were, like, Zombie Deluxe Ale, and it's like, no. And I'm like, well, that's pretty minimalist packaging. It's like they care more about the beer than they care about the packaging. Let's try that.
And it actually shows, too.
What was the one that...
Chocolate Porter.
No, well, that's the one we sampled. That actually wasn't too bad.
Yeah, same company.
Remember that green one that was down at the bottom of the shelf there that I laughed at because it had the weird hops in the name? It was like...
Modus Hopperandi.
Yeah, Modus Hopperandi.
That's a stupid name.
It was an IPA.
That's a...
give the name of the beer again and tell me what it tastes like.
It's a Red Granite Lager from Baraboo Brewing Company in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Let's see. Let me take another sip here.
I'm not good at describing taste.
I'm going to twist my arm here and take another sip of beer. It's slightly hoppy.
But not unbearable.
But not near unbearable.
They were not wrong with the caramel.
Yeah, you got a little bit of caramel.
There's that little bit of toasty taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
That you usually get with red lagers, but it's kind of highlighted here.
Yeah, it doesn't have an aftertaste really at all.
No, there's no bitter or sweet aftertaste. It's just
right.
It's a good lager.
Right.
That's a strong point. Sounds like a really good fall beer.
Yeah.
It's not super heavy, though.
Which makes sense with what we also... Because when Frank picked it out, we go up to the front counter, and the very brand of beer, the Baraboo Brewing Company that we picked, they were also... Because we pointed out the chocolate porter.
Yeah, chocolate porter. Yeah, we turned that one down. We were looking at the shelf going, chocolate porter? I don't know if I really want chocolate and beer. And
because that's what we did last month. We did a chocolate stout that I got.
Yeah, it was a chocolate and milk stout or something like that.
Yeah, milk stout. That milk was stout, yeah.
And we're like, no, let's not get that one. Let's see if we can find something else. And then when we went up to the counter, they were giving a little taster of the one that we turned down. But we could taste the chocolate, and I could taste... coffee, but it tasted like coffee that had been in the pot too long.
Yeah, God.
And then the aftertaste hit, and the burnt coffee taste got even worse.
Ugh.
So I'm glad I didn't convince him into Jingle Java or Uncommon.
Yeah, if he doesn't like either one of that, if he doesn't like that, then yeah, no.
But it wasn't hateful. And what I was thinking about that beer, I'm like, you know, if I was like drinking that beer with dinner, or something where I had something to cut back on the aftertaste, it'd been pretty good.
I appreciate that they're designing beers with food in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they do with wine.
This is a good Hollywood burger beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just that would work. A cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle. But if you put ketchup or anything on it, whatever, at home, then put it on there. But no bacon, no deluxe mayonnaise, just...
Right. Now, how I would rate this, and you guys pretty much know my scale, of, yes, I would buy this for myself.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the first beer we've found that he will do that.
That's our rating system. I'd buy it for myself. I'd drink it if somebody bought it for me. Or... No.
Yeah.
We dump it out in the fucking toilet.
No, that's even worse than no. You know, no would mean it could be on the bar next to me.
Yeah. I was thinking Moon Man when I said dump it in the toilet.
Yeah, we've only had one.
Rhonda, we have a bottle of joke beer in the fridge upstairs.
We're waiting for somebody to come in and tell us they like IPAs.
Here you go. Try this.
And it's a beer that they drink throughout all of Wisconsin called Moon Man. If you ever get offered a bottle of Moon Man, refuse. I tried to warn them. I was sick that week when they bought that sampler pack. And I'm like, don't drink the Moon Man.
Well, they drank it and they're like, it's disgusting.
I tried to warn you.
We were testing the entire pack and the other three in there were pretty good.
Road Slush was the best.
That's one that you actually drink warm.
Yeah.
But we took one sip of the Moon Man and Matt and I are both like,
nope.
Just go dump that out.
See, the Spotted
Cow. It's the only beer in my life that I haven't been able to choke down.
See, Verona, they have four signature beers from New Glares. Two Women, Road Slush, and Spotted Cow. Just like the what's the breed of cow up there? Dang it.
Holstein.
Holsteins, that's it. Dang it, and I was up there. But yeah, those three are great. If you ever get offered one of those, try it, even if you don't like beer. It's a really good beer. The Moon Man IPA is disgusting. And we would get two kegs of that in a week at the resort restaurant. It would be gone in a day.
Really?
And I cannot see how anybody drank something that utterly salty and bitter.
So,
nasty.
Oh, it's salty and bitter. I was going to ask.
IPAs are supposed to be bitter. This one actually has like salt. Like, it's funny that the Road Slush is not salty.
Yeah, at all. Just at all.
But the Moon Man, you open that bag of salt to put on your... No, wait, you're in Carolina, aren't you? Never mind.
I wish... one of these days, maybe I'll go back and I'll pull the audio from us testing it. But, I mean, it was pretty much sip.
Ugh. Oh, God, what is this?
I took another drink, and then I looked at Frank, and Frank was like, you just want to dump this out? And I was like, yeah.
I can't imagine a salty beverage.
And the worst thing about it is we weren't sober when we drank that.
No, we were... Like four or five beers.
We were four or five in of the strong, you know, because there's pretty strong beer that that company makes.
So that would have made you a lot more forgiving.
You would think.
Exactly, yeah.
So I can imagine trying to sip on that shit sober.
Well, it's the bitterness of the hops they use when it plays on your tongue. It's the same as if you got like an extra tablespoon of salt in a beer. It's because...
Now,
sodium chloride is an acid and a base, and when it goes in your tongue, it's a neutral, so it tastes bitter. Right. That's the effect that you're getting.
Now, growing up, my dad would drink like Bud Light or something like that. He'd go down to the bar, get a draft, and use a salt shaker and put a shake of salt in the beer, mainly to cut down on the head.
Yeah.
I never understood why. I've never done that.
My dad did that, too.
I've done that trick with a beer bong before.
Oh, okay. But
I use butter.
But no, like...
All right, see, you just need to say no to the beer bong at that point, Matt. If you got to grease the bong, it's no longer worth using.
Hey, it cut down on the head. Like, that was the whole problem with...
How about you just pour it right instead of greasing it?
How do you pour a beer bong
down the side, man?
I did, and it would still foam up in the actual...
You're doing it wrong.
See, no, he was focused on getting as much in his body as possible.
Did you put the loop in the...
Yes, I did everything correct, and I would... First off, it was Keystone.
Obviously, that was your problem. Obviously, you didn't do everything correct, because we've both done it successfully.
Was it warm?
No, it was cold Keystone.
I was going to say, I used to do keg stands, and I never had this problem. Keg stands are different.
I've done a keg stand, too. That was funny as hell. They got my fat ass up in the air.
I'd like to see you do a keg stand.
You remember Kelson? We got Kelson's ass up in the air with a keg stand.
How many of you did that take?
Five.
I couldn't remember if it was four or five. It was the beefiest members of the group, but it was still possible.
It was me, you.
Kelson weighs about 400 pounds, if you don't know.
Cooter.
I wasn't
there for that. I helped out with the pony keg, which was a different time, but it was still four guys.
Yeah.
And it was me, you, Cooter, and it wasn't, it obviously wasn't Cody.
I think it was Chris Critchfield.
Irrelevant, but yeah. It's...
We're just throwing out names that people don't know.
But yeah, I would say this is, well, no, because I said I would buy two women. I really like that didn't come.
So, anything's possible in Taiwan.
Yeah. The beer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rhonda.
No.
It's a joke only.
Anyway, no, that one I would drink as well, you know, because I was just basically a pilsner.
Yeah.
You know. But no, I would drink this. I would go to a bar and I would order this.
Oh, yeah.
For myself.
We got to get you to Old Chicago.
Isn't that pizza joint?
Yeah, their beer selection is pretty good, too.
Now, I think I'll keep my weird drinking to once a month here in the show.
I got you. I'm cool with that.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for Frank Sinatra. Alcohol. Shalom.
Shalom.
Was that a Sammy Davis reference or something like that?
Well, no, I didn't.
No.
By the way, it's L'chaim.
That'll work, too. That actually just sounds like you can almost like clear your throat and say that.
That's half the languages over there. Anyway.
We used to make fun of Noam for that. So you'd go into a little bit of Yiddish and we'd say, you okay? Need a drink of water? Anyway, let's see what else has gone on in the last this season. Is there anything big going on the last few weeks?
Not that
I can think of.
That's a good point, because Rhonda usually comes with points prepared. Let's give her a chance to blow our minds before we go into the
Rhonda,
other thing.
Rhonda goes with the points that I usually send her. Do you have anything? Do you have anything that wasn't on the list, Rhonda?
No.
Okay.
Oh, good.
You want to talk about the other things first? We can blow through them real quick.
Oh, good. I'm a dick.
Or do you want to go straight into number one and?
Oh, let's do Jessica Jones and Supergirl, and then we can do the other one.
Okay. I like that. Jessica Jones, I binged that last weekend. Wow.
I liked it.
It was good. I've always been a fan of noir in the first place, and that's
thank
the
you.
Feeling
somebody
I
else
got
that,
from this. Yes.
Somebody else that loved noir.
Yes.
I loved it,
and that's
it, yeah.
really what it is. I mean, yeah. you could... And they even went with it with the voiceover at the beginning with her basically telling you about her job and what she was doing.
Yeah.
And it would just be, you know, like, some people are strange and this, you know, and this is the story. And then they would do the story, you know, kind of like the old radio noirs.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling that I got from this. Matter of fact, I think I told you this. This series would have worked great on the radio the way they did it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you watch it too? Did you want?
Yeah, I haven't finished it.
Okay, where are you up to then? It's been out for a while. I just don't want to talk about anything you haven't seen yet.
I think the last episode I saw was episode 10, Kilgrave got away.
Oh, where she was up on the balcony and he was in the house. Are you talking about when the cop tried to throw himself off the?
No.
Have you seen that yet?
I think she's talking about when Kilgrave was in the cage, and then he got out from there.
Oh, when he was in,
yeah.
Yeah, he met his parents, and then he got away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, up until then, I think we sat down to watch, we'd watch four episodes, and I really didn't care whether I sat down and finished watching it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then after getting into, like, episode 8 and 9, once we hit episode 10, where he was in the cage and his parents showed up, I was freaking out.
David Tennant plays a really awesome bad guy, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he needs to do that more.
I think that, I mean, I love seeing Tennant in whatever he's doing. I mean, he did Broadchurch, and it was exceptionally gloomy and complicated, and this is deranged and... Right. Joker styled.
Well, I think that's the thing that I liked best about this is that they show you how he became the way he became, and you kind of feel for the man a little bit.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
He's a bratty little son of a bitch.
No, I'm talking about
Kilgrave. Oh yeah,
I know he. Well, he is now. I'm talking about when he was a kid. Did you have you been to the part yet where they show the video yeah. with the okay? You know, at the time, I could understand. You know, he's getting shit injected into his brain. It hurts. He's freaking out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've gone through years and years of this torment at the hands of your parents, and then all of a sudden, you tell them to stop, and they do, and you go, hmm.
Which is actually a great counterpoint, because Jessica Jones went through a very similar process with him, and right. she came out screwed up, but still had a good sense of right and wrong.
Right.
Which is, that I love that dichotomy between the two of them.
Now, the thing that they haven't told you yet is because... Actually, I don't know if I can't say that yet because you don't see what I was just going to say until I think the episode before last. Or, the, like, episode 12. So I can't say that yet.
Well,
you want to stop listening for a second, Rhonda? And then,
and well, let me ask you this. I mean, like I said, I was pretty... I was pretty much over it after like four episodes. I didn't care whether I watched any more of it. And I've been trying to figure out why that is. before the episodes came out, I picked up the graphic novels, which I found were very, very interesting. But I think that part of the problem I had was I had nobody to root for.
Huh?
On the show, I didn't have anybody to root for. They were not giving me enough for me to root for it. I thought Jessica was just an asshole. I thought that...
That's fair.
They didn't give me enough about what happened to her with Kilgrave within the first four episodes.
Right.
For me to think she was anything but an asshole.
Yeah, they waited a little while to bring that up.
Yeah.
And
I needed to get attached to something. I can deal with someone being a real jerk about their, you know, their reluctance, you know, caring anti-hero or whatever. But I didn't see anything to make me like her. I just thought she was a jerk. And it's like, well, okay, you guys have got to kind of give me something. And everybody around her was.
I think the thing that made me kind of like her a little bit and realize that she wasn't a complete jerk was the way she treated the junkie. Yeah, she was upset with him and she talked cross to him, but she helped him pretty much any chance she got.
Yeah. She had a heart of gold, but but she didn't like anybody to see it.
That the wasn't heart of gold. That's not the way they painted that.
Mm-mm.
No,
I'm sorry
no,
to disagree.
No.
This was her seeing another asshole and taking care of them. That's why I'm out of the series. I'm out. I was out. I got like three episodes in. I'm like, this is stupid.
For the same
reason Rhonda just said, there was no redeeming qualities to fall back on until later in this. And now I'm hearing about it, and I'm like, I don't care. You had three episodes to sell me. I'm out. Right. I'm out.
and that could be one problem with it. I did remember watching the first few episodes and going, okay. But the only reason I stuck around is that I knew a little bit about the character of Jessica Jones before I went into the thing. So I know how she's able to do that thing that I can't tell because Rhonda hasn't got to that part yet.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yep. Okay, yeah.
I've read the graphic novels. What background are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Are you talking about what you know about the character? Where did you learn about the character?
Oh, it's from the comic books.
Okay.
But if you've read the graphic novel...
Let me just put it this way. So far, the show itself has had to change some of the story so much that I feel like that they have skipped a lot of character.
They have. And
she dropped.
We just lost her. Yeah.
Rhonda, if you can hear us, we can't hear you.
Rhonda, I think you hit your mute button.
Or the Skype call just dropped.
No, I've still got her on Skype. No, she just hung up.
Internet.
Yeah, it could. I hope our internet didn't drop. No, our internet's fine.
Okay.
Anyway, before we get her back, matter of fact, what I was talking about is how she's able to withstand Kilgrave.
Oh, yeah.
That actually came from.
Hi, Rhonda.
You didn't hear anything. You didn't hear what I just said. Did you?
I think that's in the.
That was
I think that's in the graphic comic. I think that's in the graphic novel. That
right,
she
but how she's able to do that, I don't think is in the graphic novel. That came from the comic books.
Well,
I threw in what I was talking about while you were cut off there.
They took all the issues of her comic book and put it into one graphic novel.
Okay, okay.
So.
Anyway, you still there?
Yep.
Okay, good. You're back. No, yeah, you just dropped the call for a minute.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, the internet was sketchy this morning, but.
Yeah.
Luke Cage deserves his own show.
Which he is getting his own show.
He is. Yes, he is getting his own show.
Good, because that'll satisfy the black geeks.
Yeah.
Luke Cage.
Oh, well, I love that character.
Well, I love Luke Cage.
Well, yeah. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones in the comic books are married and have a kid.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. But I don't remember what's in
Daredevil
the graphic novel.
Comes back in February,
yeah,
too.
Daredevil. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too.
I think if you
stick it out to the end, Jessica Jones pays off. You're right. The first few episodes are kind of slow, but if you stick it out to the end, it pays off. I really like the end.
Yeah, I mean, they things picked up in episode 5, and I was even having trouble with episode 8 because there was a lot going on that I was like, "That's stupid. She would never do that." But when I step back and look at the tangle and the severity of the situation that they were in, bad decisions and bad shit was just going to happen. And I'm like, there's no other way this could have gone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you're dealing with a guy that can control any and everybody around him.
Yep.
And make them do shit. You know.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's funny because I have yet... My husband said something last night when we were watching it. He's like, why doesn't she just punch him in the throat? It's like, I don't know.
Because she doesn't, she can't yet.
She still thinks that he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what we're talking. That's where, okay, if you read. Okay, then I'm going to spoil this for you, Rhonda. Eventually, she's able to withstand Kilgrave's mind control.
Well, they present that at the end of the episode I saw last night.
Okay, okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, so you saw it at the end where like he grabbed her arm and she didn't.
Yeah, let go of me, Jessica, and she didn't.
Right.
Which I love the delivery from David. Let
it was
go
fantastic.
Of me.
Yeah, and then just look the look on his face when she doesn't.
He knew, and then when it's the look on his face when she finally realizes that he can't do it anymore, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, God.
That was but brilliant on both of their parts. I mean, the cast they have is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they're really delivering the level of intensity. I mean, the stress. But that last scene there at the end of episode 10, I think it is. Oh, it's wonderful.
But like you said, a lot of the things that they had to bypass to jump right into the story where this is – in the graphic novel, you see her being a superhero, and then you see her basically, you see all of the stuff that, if you didn't know, Kilgrave is the Purple Man from the thing. All of the stuff that he actually made her do, how she got away from him, and who gave her the ability to withstand his powers, which was actually Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you don't get. And, you know, so you miss all of that.
And the reason the reason behind that is because of the stupid dispute that Marvel has with 20th Century Fox, which is unfortunate.
Right, they can't show that to you.
It's not as bad as Marvel and Sony.
They got over that, though.
No, not completely. Marvel just finally dog-eyed them into doing it. Serious. No, Marvel finally put you're ruining this for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you, like I said, if you stick it out to the end, you're going to go, wow.
Well, I'm in now.
You know, I'm talking to Pete here at this point. He said he was out after 3. But yeah, the first few episodes are kind of set up. Because I think the reason why she's being an asshole at the beginning, and this is my thinking here, is because she doesn't want to get dragged back into the being a superhero thing because she's afraid that Kilgore would just come back in, take her over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely everything is being explained by what the aftermath of what he did to her. Basically, the PTS of her after Kilgore, which I think in retrospect, in looking at it from episodes 8, 9, and 10, is brilliant. I think that what she exhibited makes sense. But it didn't make enough sense for the audience, I don't think.
Yeah. That could be, yeah.
I can see where that is. It's one of the... I was hooked when I knew it was Kristen Ritter and David Tennant. I was like, right. I love both of these actors, and if nothing else, David Tennant as a bad guy is something I have never seen before. Mm-hmm. I've seen it close in Doctor Who when in The Waters of Mars, but I've never
Harry
actually...
Harry Potter.
Yeah, and Harry Potter. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to stick through this until it actually...
Yeah,
catches me.
We just watched Hot Fuzz right before we came down to do the show.
I love that movie too.
I had never seen it before.
Oh, that's great.
And one of the great things is just Matt and Pete and me really sitting there. We're just all of the people that were in Harry Potter that are also in Hot Fuzz.
I know.
Well, that's one. And Lord of the Rings.
I was like, wait, is that Filch? Yeah,
that's Filch. There was the guy who played Slughorn. That was Danny's dad.
Right.
I believe. Was that Slughorn? I think.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that was Professor Slughorn.
Yeah.
But,
surprised they didn't get a part for Warwick Davis in there. That'd have been awesome.
So, anyway, Matt, Rhonda, and I give Jessica Jones a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I think so.
Pete couldn't make it through the first few episodes.
Which is fine.
So, basically, if you're going to watch it...
For comparison, I started to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the first episode, I'm like, way to go, Eden. We're back to the old formula, aren't we?
Right.
Second episode, I'm like, oh, my God, Peru, lasers. And the third episode, I'm like, all right, there might be something to watch here.
Right.
And I'm glad I stuck with it because it's a good show.
Right. And that's what I said. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the first season, you kind of have to muscle through the first half of it until Hydra fall or until...
Yeah.
Hydra shows up, and then it got really good.
And see, conversely, me and Matt are big fans of the TV show Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that yet.
Dude. Because there is a villain in there that is the definition of a sociopath. And they've gotten it right. They've actually taken the idea of someone who is completely without any concept of morals or impact on other people and is completely self-centered and I don't care if I lie. I don't care if I cheat. I don't care if I steal. He actually is a... what is assumed to be a heterosexual man who is completely willing to fulfill gay relations in order to just get ahead at his job.
Right. But
that's the type of villain I want to see. I don't want to see a Joker-esque villain. I want to see a methodical.
If you make it to the part where Kilgrave actually shows up, this guy's the same way. He doesn't give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the most unpredictable, unreasonable, unlogical. I mean, you do not know.
I'll watch up until he appears. I'll promise you guys that. I'll watch up until he appears. And if he is a cheap copy of the Joker,
Because as a guy that's a fan of the Joker,
we need to stop imitating the Joker. We need a different kind of villain.
Yeah, he's not imitating the Joker.
I tell you what, the most tense
scenes.
He has
a plan.
Yeah.
The stuff where...
He's not chaos.
He has her in the house.
Awesome.
And she makes him go out and do a good deed.
That was
I thought for
so
a,
complicated.
It
was so complicated.
And you can see the wheels turning in his head for a second that maybe he was doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
No.
And then he goes... Know what? Fuck it. Me.
No, it was just playtime for him. It was novel.
It was something he had never done before.
Yeah. I don't think he contemplated anything except that he knows that things are exciting when he's around her.
Right. He could use that to keep her around if he chose.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
But what I mean is, like
pure
I said,
manipulation.
It was manipulation, but it made him think for a second. Maybe she'll respond to me doing good shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the time in the house and then the time where he is in the cage and he's just watching everybody on the outside.
Yeah.
Is the absolute most tense, because the whole time he's not doing anything. He's in the cage and he can't hear everything, he can only see, and you're still completely freaking out, and you're like, why are you just standing there talking in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but he can't hear you. Yeah, but why are you doing it?
Right.
It's like, why are you in the room
with him? So they lectured him.
Yes, very much
so. Yeah, in a hermetically sealed room. But they didn't tie him up. No, it was
I promised I'll give it a shot. I'll give it another shot up to Kilgrave, but if they turn him into Joker plus Hannibal Lecter, I want to see a new villain.
No,
I want to see something that makes me go, what's this guy going to do? And not in a chaotic way, but what's this guy's plan? What's his motivation?
Oh, yeah.
You'll get that.
You'll get that.
You should get that. Yeah.
He is a very, very, very good villain.
That's pretty funny.
Because in Mr. Robot, the weird thing about the villain that I'm talking about, Matt knows who I'm talking about because we've talked about that show because we've watched.
I love that show.
Villain actually he's so methodical and plans everything out as well as being a sociopath, but he actually at least one time took an action that was near self-destruction. And that made the character just like, what did he just do? Why would he do that?
Yeah.
He had everything.
That's Joker-esque.
He had, no, not even, it wasn't even chaotic. It may have been he slipped. He's a persona. He's created this to get ahead, and he may have slipped into just emotional for a minute. All that repression finally caught up with him, but we don't know yet. You'd have to watch the series to get what I'm talking about. It's one of those. Yeah. It's a moment that defines the villain as
right.
He's not as predictable as I thought.
Right. Yeah. No, I've heard good things about the show. I just haven't made it to it yet. No, this guy, he has a plan. He has a very well thought out plan. And the best thing about it is it seems to me like he's thought out the variables as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I do this, one of these three things may happen, and I need to plan for all three. And then when I plan these three, then these nine things may happen. So he's like a chess player. You know, somebody will make a move, and he's able to anticipate the move that they're going to make.
Yep.
Oh, I had that moment today. It was so smart to go to the 9:40 a.m. showing of Star Wars, and then I realized one thing that I had not accounted for. It's 4 weeks after the premiere. It's a 9:40 a.m. on Saturday showing. This is when all the parents with kids bring their kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but there wasn't really a, there
no,
was what maybe
but I had that moment of dread. I'm like, uh-oh, a variable I didn't account for. Crap.
Yeah.
It all seems so perfect.
Right. But there was what, maybe 30 or 40 people in the theater?
Well, the family, the husband and wife that brought in the two kids right in front of us, I'm like, no. No. Luckily, they were stoned. The whole theater was stone quiet.
Pretty much, yeah. I think we were making the most noise.
Matt was.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You said we were. It's Matt. It was Matt.
No,
I'm cool with
that. I made a few comments.
I laughed at the appropriate spots.
Right.
Cheered at the appropriate. And no one else was.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Sorry.
Supergirl.
I have not seen Supergirl.
I tried. I really did. I made it about halfway through the first episode, and I'm done.
When it comes to any of the Krypton-based characters, I'm out. I'm sorry. It's just they cannot create a character that is based in Kryptonian
The big
physiology
the
that I just
big
don't like.
The big difference between the way they're presenting Superman and Supergirl. Superman was a relatively unwilling superhero at the beginning.
Which variation are we talking about here?
Pretty much most
no, he's
of them.
Talking about the original variation of it. It's
okay. I got
the Snyder film actually took that, but it took it too far.
Okay, right. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, even back in the day in the comic books, you know, he grew up on the farm, and
Snyder went from that ass point,
right?
But he
right.
But he took it too far.
Yeah,
but way I mean, too far.
I mean, he was willing to be Superman, but he was an unwilling Superman, as in he wasn't in it for the glory and the accolades and all that kind of stuff. He was there to help.
I was,
but
actually,
even then, he didn't jump into it until he absolutely had to.
Let me guess at something. Were you out because she's trying to live up to Superman?
I was out because even before she was trying to live up to Superman, she was bitching and moaning, I can't do anything with my powers, and I'm starting to get upset, and I need to go out.
It was heroes plus live up to Superman. I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm sorry.
No,
nope,
she was pissed off. Story. I can do the exact same thing he can, but I can't do anything.
For the record, I find Superman just as uninteresting.
Yeah.
I haven't given Supergirl a super thought afterwards.
Yeah, and that's what drove me. She got into it because she wanted.
That's a joke from the reformat coming back soon.
She wanted the power and the accolades and the acknowledgement and all that stuff. And that lost me.
I don't think that's totally true.
I'm talking about from the first episode because that's all I watched.
Well. Yeah, I only watched a couple of episodes, and I mean, basically, I think everything you guys are saying is the same way I feel. I don't care anything about Kryptonian people. None of the superheroes, they don't interest me. I think they're very one-dimensional. They just don't have anything to them.
Very Smallville is the closest they ever got to giving Superman another dimension to his character.
And that's why I
didn't
that
like
show.
That either, because it was still Superman.
I like that show.
It's okay. But the other thing you've got to remember, though, is it's the
Smallville
same thing.
Would have been cool if they would have started when he was like 3.
No, that's not the show that they were going for, though.
I know, but it would have been cool, though.
I wanted him 15.
I know, but it would have been cool, though, seeing him start as a little kid, you know.
I wanted him going through puberty.
Well, okay. Anyway, you were saying, Rhonda, I'm sorry we so rudely interrupted there.
Are you sure?
Okay. Go ahead.
That's the problem with the shows on CW, is they're young adult. They're coming of age stories, which I have no tolerance for.
Supergirl's a millennial, and I think that's what's pissing me off about it.
It's that's what the story is, and I don't like those stories. They're completely valid stories, but we are not the demographic for that story.
Right.
At all.
I don't even know if millennial, because the ratings for some of these shows are...
Well, the ratings for Supergirl tanked.
I'm really surprised, because I think Supergirl is at least as good as Arrow and Flash. I think Flash is ridiculous.
Right? Why? Why do you think Flash in particular is ridiculous?
I just don't find that the actor playing Flash believable.
Can I ask you a polite question?
There's no such thing on this show,
yes,
man.
Yes, there is.
I was about to say.
Are you familiar with the Wally West,
The Flash
Barry
was
Allen
a prick.
No, he wasn't. You read a different comic book. The Flash is the only superhero in the DC universe whose commitment to really trying to do the right thing paid off in his town.
Right. No, what I mean by a prick is he's
a jokester?
Overly confident in his abilities.
I can see that in the non-origin story of Flash. Yes, he got really confident. He thought he was the bee's knees.
Right.
So the Flash is Deadpool, not as a douche.
Really? Yeah, like the comic book version of the Flash is he stops the robber or the bad guy from stealing from the bank, and the bank is ruined, and the next day the bank is repaired, because not only did the Flash send the bad guy, whoever his rogue villain was that week in that issue, to jail, but he went back and with his super speed repaired the bank overnight because it was the right thing to do. And his town looked at that like, this is amazing. He's the only superhero who doesn't leave a wake of destruction behind everything he does. And he's here to try and help and he's trying to do the right thing. And it's something that caught on in his town. Not Gotham, not Metropolis, not Star City, none of those, but in Central City in particular is where a superhero was welcomed. And that hokiness, I like that in the Flash TV series.
Now,
that little bit of, oh gosh darn, I'm going to try to soda pop my way through this.
I will say that compared to the comic books, the villains that he's facing in the TV show are a lot better.
I appreciate the
because
the changeover in the villains.
Wussy. Stupid.
Captain Cold sucked in the comic book.
He really did. Captain Boomerang. He's got two captains.
Actually, I tell you the story arc that I really liked is I'm brain farting on it. The one dude that's actually two dudes.
You talk about Firestorm?
Firestorm, yeah. The old guy and the young kid.
Oh, dude, yeah. Firestorm's awesome. That was one of the best characters ever come out of that show.
And then looking at it through another lens, looking at it possibly through Rhonda's lens, I look at that and go, that's almost kind of lame.
But for some reason,
next to the soda pop, gee whiz, golly, 1940s can-do flash they're putting on the screen, I'm like, it works.
I just think
the CW version of shows, they're just not my demographic. In and of themselves, as creative pieces and story pieces, I'm sure they're fine. I think the set design and the costume design, the coloring and everything on Supergirl is brilliant. I think they have their own identity. I think they've done a great job creatively. I think Calista Flockhart is a major mistake.
Has she never been a major mistake?
I know, exactly. But besides
the only thing that she's done
I like
smart
the
in her life is Mary
they...
Harrison Ford.
Oh, I'm not even sure about that. I think she rubbed off on him. But
he has lost a little weight.
Oh, brutal.
Anyway,
especially in the waist.
Anyway,
it's almost like she forced that change on him.
Ah.
I liked The Flash. Well, all I've seen is the first season. I have not watched the second season at all. Apparently, from the few things that I've caught about it, this is like an alternate Earth.
It's the Crisis on Infinite Earth storyline.
Right.
But it started with the Flash Paradox,
which was really
interesting. The really interesting choice to spin it into the two.
Now, Arrow.
Season 3, Arrow kind of took a downturn because it kind of got the storyline got lost. And it was like, I think it's a combination of them trying to bring the Flash in and connect the two. And, like, they just had no idea how to do it properly. They're introducing a bunch of new characters and just kind of got...
Season 1.
Oh, Season 1 of Arrow was phenomenal.
Season 2? What was Season 2? Season 2 was Slade, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Manu Bennett. Yeah, it was Deathstroke, yeah.
Season 2 was good. Season 3 was...
What do you think of Arrow, Rhonda?
I really, really love the actress who plays...
I'm just cueing a question.
Felicity Snoke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
I really love that character.
I enjoyed the first couple of seasons, but I get really, really tired of the martyr superhero who can't tell anybody anything, and he has to do everything on his own. And that's part of what I liked in the first and second season is when the other characters started joining his crew and helping him out, especially the tech chick. What was her name?
That's Felicity. That's what
they brought her along, I thought that is the most brilliant decision.
I love the episode where it starts out with her talking about not having any scars and then he gets shot in the shoulder and she's like, I got my own scar now.
That was cool.
I'm with her.
Yeah. No,
the most interesting part about the Arrow comic books is he's basically Batman with a bow and arrow.
See, and I think maybe that's what I like about Arrow is just because of the kind of stuff that I did when I was in the Marines. I want to work alone.
But the thing about Arrow that made him in the comic book so compelling, not only working alone, was the drive behind it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that at any time could lay down that bow and arrow and go back to being a billionaire. Not even a playboy, just a billionaire.
Yeah, the show doesn't get
Why does
that.
He keep going back?
Yeah,
They just say, I need to save this city, and it's never really set up beyond
his father screwing the city. No, actually, the show...
And he saved the city three times, and why are we going back more?
No, because the show actually takes you in the direction that he's trying to get away from his billionaire part of his life completely.
Yeah, and that really the thing that compelled me about the Arrow originally
was, like you said, that's what's compelling about Bruce Wayne is that he's both.
Yeah. But Arrow, the thing that kept him coming back was, and they covered this in the comic book at a very weird time in comic books where they finally introduced like Speedy. Speedy, not the females, not his sister, but the actual Red Arrow, was addicted to heroin. Mm-hmm. And during that time in the comic book arc, he realized that while Speedy, while Red Arrow was addicted to heroin, he was addicted to being a hero.
Right.
He just wanted to do the right thing, and he had to re-examine his motives and everything. And there was a really interesting character growth and character arc that came out of that, and I wish they would have done that in any of the seasons of Arrow, but they haven't really covered that internal drive that drives Oliver to want to save his city.
Well, maybe they'll get into that now that he's had the,
spoilers, yeah. Well, it's been a while.
I have not watched any of season 4 yet. What are they going through right now?
They've brought in Damian Dark. No, he doesn't remember Band of Brothers that well. You remember...
Band of Brothers, I don't remember.
Lieutenant Hawk from First Contact.
Okay.
He's Damian Dark. Damian Dark has magic powers. Something they haven't fought before.
No.
They're doing it right.
It's fantastic.
He's not just over there throwing magic around Harry Potter style. It's very, like, come at me, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. When they introduced, like, Damian Dark, I was like, I appreciate the fact that we're throwing Oliver a curveball, something he has never...
Okay.
But
I want my magic to stay with Doctor Strange.
I can't give away too much else about that season without some big spoilers, but they still have not...
I don't care about spoilers.
They still have not attacked Oliver's tribe. Well,
hold on. Rhonda, do you care about spoilers?
No, I don't care about spoilers on Arrow.
Constantine.
I'm still not going to ruin it. They brought him in for a couple... I think it was one episode. They brought him in. It was a tie-in episode.
Yeah.
It was not an arc. There is a moment where Oliver calls Constantine for help, but it's not... it's not a giant thing where Constantine's showing up now.
Who's Constantine?
You gotta be kidding me.
It's a whole other TV show. You remember the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves?
What did you guys think of the TV show?
I never actually watched it.
Neither have I.
But it was cued
for me. I'm gonna do it.
That's one of the ones where
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You remember the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves?
No.
Then you don't. But it is based on a comic book in the same DC universe where he is misanthropic exorcist.
The easiest way to think about it is
alcoholic.
Like, yep.
Does he say
tobacco addicted?
Yeah.
Misanthropic exorcist.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Hellblazer comic books are fantastic.
Okay.
And.
I don't know anything about that. So you're not spoiling anything for me because I have no idea what you're talking about.
It is a tie-in to the DC universe worth examining.
Okay.
I have not seen the series yet, but...
All right.
I didn't care for the portrayal of Constantine in the series. It didn't seem to match to me what was in the comic books.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Ron.
No, that's fine.
No, I was going to say, I like the small portrayal that they had in Arrow... I thought he nailed it.
I
have to.
I'm of the mind if you read this is the we're segueing and I don't mean to if you read Sherlock Holmes in a book, it's actually kind of weird that nobody really examined the words he said, the way he acted specifically, until it was portrayed on the big screen in between Robert Downey Jr.'s arrogant D-bag. And between Benedict Cumberbatch's...
Sherlock Holmes was an arrogant D-bag.
If you read the books, pound for pound, and if you actually read the comic books and the Hellraiser comic books, Constantine was kind of that arrogant.
Yeah.
He was that I hate everything and
I'm
whatever.
Just so much better.
I'm only here to beat the devil. I don't care about the angels, that sort of thing.
But the betrayal in the TV show compared to the Keanu Reeves Constantine are completely different. So
yes.
What did you think of the film?
The film, I thought it worked as a complete, and I never want them to make a sequel, ever.
Ever.
As a standalone film, in and of itself, I think it focused way more on, like, the moral paradoxes between heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And what drives each side, and do they interact, and things like that, and if heaven and hell are both real, can't they communicate, that sort of thing. It focused more on that. And as a standalone film taken completely separate from the TV show, it can work, it should work, and it should be left alone in a vault by itself, ever, forever.
Yeah.
Watched by itself.
Yeah.
If you ever compared the two, like we're doing, kind of, you're going to end up going, which one's right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just like
I think the film was such a thin slice of what Constantine is.
Yes.
That I don't think that they pursued the asshole part of Constantine in that film. I think that it was such a thin slice of time.
See, I think they went after the misanthrope more than they did the asshole.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They went after the hatred more than the ego, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
He hated the devil and hated hell, but
he also didn't really care
drives,
for, and he also really didn't care for what heaven was doing right. to him either.
He was in this weird emotional state, but yeah.
Well, if you want to go there, then you can always look at the fucking shitty ass Ghost Rider movies that they made.
Yeah. Now,
Ghost Rider in the comic books is cool as hell.
Yeah.
I see what he did there.
Yeah, you see what I did? Yeah. He's cool.
Which, hilarious, kind of ties us back into Jessica Jones, because with us introducing the noir style of comic book in the Marvel universe now,
mm-hmm.
that actually allows us to play into one of my favorite comic book series that they did, which was the Midnight Suns comic book, which is a collection of it's Morpheus, the vampire from Spider-Man, Johnny Blaze, who was a Ghost Rider.
I'm glad we didn't start with Star Wars, or we'd have never got it.
And they basically, it's a collection of like four or five different supernatural characters. Blade's also in there too, and they have like an investigation agency, kind of like what Jessica Jones did. Yeah, no, yeah, it's cool as hell. The character is fantastic. I love it.
Well, here's my question about Jessica Jones. It's in Hell's Kitchen, right?
Yes, the same place that
Hell was Daredevil?
I was kind of hoping. I was actually kind of hoping at some point when she got.
You should have at least seen him walking down the street once or twice.
Good segue, but he was probably in a Rob Zombie song.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, okay. I did.
But speaking.
Well,
of,
if you look at the credits at the beginning, the
I always skipped. It was on Netflix, so I always got to skip the first minute and a half of the.
Take a look. I think that they have got silhouettes of Daredevil in the credits. If you look, there's a guy punching a bag. There's a guy, it looks like he's got Daredevil mask on.
So he might show up in season two or something like that.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
It's really CW and Netflix with a handshake?
Know. Daredevil isn't CW.
No.
No, Daredevil's Netflix.
Daredevil's Netflix.
I don't even know where I'm watching Jessica Jones. Through the avenue where I watch TV, it
Netflix.
Never tells me.
They're both on Netflix.
Yeah, never mind, then.
Yeah. But speaking of Daredevil, season two should be coming out pretty soon, and they're introducing Elektra.
And
Punisher.
And the Punisher.
Oh, dude. The fact that they got the guy who plays Shane.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
brilliant.
My God.
Who's what?
Brilliant.
You don't watch The Walking Dead,
mm-mm.
but the guy they got to play the Punisher is the character Shane from the first couple seasons of Walking Dead. Effectively, Shane's character is kind of the same thing that the Punisher is.
I hope it's better than the movies.
You didn't? No, I love the Punisher. I love the
Punisher movies are fun.
Thomas Jane nailed Frank Castle, man. I loved it.
If you made me write down names of comic book characters that deserved a TV series,
The Punisher
would be at the top,
yes.
Because he's a guy that's a manic depressant.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need 30 episodes or 22 episodes to actually see his ups and his downs.
I identify with the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the plan is they did actually announce when they said that they were bringing the Punisher into Daredevil that this is the launching point for him to have his own TV show.
Good.
Yeah. On Netflix?
Yeah. On Netflix, yeah.
I hope Netflix
I might
it.
Watch that one alone.
But
he deserves his own TV. It's the only character that needs 20 comic books or 20 episodes
to figure out
what he's doing.
He'll only get 13.
That's fine. But, that should be about enough.
Yeah. Every 3 months, Punisher goes on a rampage and just starts killing people that litter and walk on the grass. And
right.
You didn't dispose of your peanut shells properly. Boom. And like, okay, call in a comic book hero to save him really quick.
I want to see the conflict between Matt Murdock and Frank Castle. Like, that is going to be fantastic.
Right, because Matt Murdock doesn't want to kill people.
Right, yeah. He's basically effectively Batman. He does, like, he'll beat the crap out of people and uh-huh. put himself into wanton destruction, but he won't actually take that extra step.
Not wanton. it's wanton.
Whatever.
Yeah, wonton is a
I know,
food.
Shut up.
No, this is a thing where I need to save you from being a moron in front of other people. Don't
I
ever
gotcha.
Say wonton destruction. It's wonton.
Okay. Okay. No, thank you.
Wonton is Chinese food.
I give you respect for reading that word and understanding what that word means.
Yeah.
The pronunciation is a whole other ball.
Yeah, I got gotcha. You. Fair enough.
Was that January 2nd or January 3rd on your calendar of New Words of the Day?
No, I've known that word forever.
Hey,
Frank.
We both watch a YouTube guy, and I actually had to join Twitter to send this guy a point that he said proselytize.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah. You mean proselytize? Yeah. Well, I'm from England, and I actually linked him to the Oxford English British Dictionary
yeah,
and the pronunciation key where they said proselytize. And I'm like, so even your own people say it this way.
Yeah,
Version did you check? The aluminium version?
Yeah, this is the guy that's like, hey, you got something in your mustache. I'm just being a bro.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I'm not telling you how to run your life.
Thank you, I appreciate
just
it.
Just telling you how to speak the proper English.
That's fine.
No one looks
so
like a
genius. So have you guys seen the new Daredevil trailer?
There's another one?
The Daredevil trailer?
Yeah. No, I have not.
No.
I need to watch that.
Uh-oh.
Trailer? Or?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. It went up, I think, this weekend.
Okay.
I really hate it.
Uh-oh.
I really hate it.
Is there more than one?
Hold on. Rhonda uses the H word. I like Rhonda.
Yeah, it's really bad. I don't know whose idea it was, but it was not a good idea. I don't think. I think it was a bad idea.
Okay, there's... Yeah, 3 days ago. Okay, you hate it.
Yes.
Okay.
Now we have to play it.
Now we have
yeah,
to play it.
Yeah, you got to play it.
Had to see this thing.
I can't see.
No shit. We established that a year ago.
They call stuff like that gifts.
We are by day, vigilante by night. How does that work?
Sometimes they have to do things outside of the law.
I don't see this city anymore. All that I see are its dark corners.
Hell's Kitchen.
I can see how this would piss you off.
Reborn.
You're talking about the one with all the murals and all that stuff in the church?
Yeah, it's the Sistine Chapel redone.
Yeah.
Daredevil's life. I just think it's stupid.
Lie to me, Matt. Since the day we met.
I have to be the man the city needs.
It's like they're trying. You're not missing anything, man. They're basically just trying to.
It's a season preview.
They're basically rehash. That whole thing was a rehash of everything you saw in episode one or the season one.
Season recap trailer. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Welcome to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Guilt can be a good thing.
I just don't know why.
Man, okay, man.
Indication that your work is not yet finished.
March 18th is when it comes out.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's about the same time as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., ironically.
Okay.
It's almost like that was planned.
It might be the lead-in. It might be some of the lead-ins into Civil War, too.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about that, Rhonda. This year's going to be a good year.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
Are you excited about Civil War, Rhonda?
I want to go back and watch Winter Soldier again and then see Civil War. I think Captain America is some of the best Marvel movies. Yeah.
Remember, you have to watch Winter Soldier and then immediately watch Age of Ultron.
I do?
Yeah. Yes. Because the key to all of this is Tony Stark's viewpoint. It's ironic, but
yes.
He's the villain.
Yes.
Spoiler, sorry.
That's part of the reason why I wanted to go back to see Winter Soldier, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
Frank
so
did the hand gestures.
I gave you the look like, no shit,
it's
dumbass.
In the trailer. That's why I said
yeah.
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the trailer. But
yeah.
He's the villain. It's one of those weird situations where
from a certain point of view.
Well, it's in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the villain, but...
I don't know if there's anything civil about it.
Is he really... It's one of those weird ones, because even in the comic books, I'm like, okay, you can kind of see where both sides are coming
from.
Oh,
yeah. Here. No, totally. You know? Like, the Civil War storyline, it actually totally makes sense from the comic books because of, like, we've had so many years
We're living through it now with shit like the Patriot Act and stuff like that.
Which is exactly why they
fly lists and you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which is the Civil War storyline in the comic books nailed. It absolutely nailed that concept of like, and when they first introduced this, everyone thought that Captain America was going to be the one that sided with the government.
Wait a minute. You're starting to do a thing.
What am I doing?
You're starting to do a thing.
Oh, I'm...
You're starting to actually spoil it.
That's true.
Unless Rhonda and Frank have both read the Civil War comic book series.
No.
Yeah, you're going to start spoiling
it. Yeah, I am going to start spoiling
it. It's obvious where Tony Stark is in the trailer, but you're leading into that point where you're going to give something away.
Okay, I gotcha.
I know.
Yeah, and if the comic book does the story justice, explains it well, I'd be interested in reading that.
Now,
they make some changes
for the movie.
Yeah.
They have to for the movie, knowing the comic book story.
Well, they've changed so much leading into it that I'm sure they've had to change, you know, things going into this one.
The thing with the Civil War is that the mutants play a huge part in it, as well as Spider-Man too. So
that's why they had to get them. Yeah. But for Avengers 3, but
we'll have to do a show sometime on canon or non-canon.
But they're calling them Inhumans now, not mutants.
I like that idea, Rhonda. And if we ever, when the flame reignites for the reformat,
we might
hold you to that. Right. Yeah. That's usually where that forum goes down.
Yeah. Yeah. Rhonda, another thing that we've been talking about doing here recently is that we're going to put a TV down here in the studio, and we're going to start doing kind of a Riff Tracks type thing, but on like good movies.
Oh, cool.
But we're not going to actually play them. We're going to watch the movie and record what we're talking about. But it'll be one of those where we'll tell everybody where to start their movie, and then they can watch and then listen to us.
Yeah,
at the same time.
We promise it'll be funny,
ish.
You know what?
I think
it's about as funny as Riff Tracks.
Came up with that idea.
Star Trek 6.
Nope, it was Star Trek 6, the Undiscovered Country.
Yeah.
When we were watching.
We as fans, all three of us fans of Star Trek, were ripping that movie apart. And I'm like, no, this is funny.
Yeah.
We should be recording this.
Yeah.
Three fans are ripping this movie a new one.
I think
one.
It was Matt that finally said, we should be recording this.
Yeah.
If anybody else had been in that room, like, if you guys hate it so much, why are you watching? No, we don't hate it.
No.
Love it enough to rip it to shreds.
We joke because we love.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it was on TV tomorrow, all three of us would probably sit down and watch
it again.
All the way through and make fun of it all over it again.
Well, the funniest thing is I was waiting for the shapeshifter. Even, first time I saw, I was waiting for the shapeshifter to turn into, like, the green chick.
Yeah!
That's sweet.
See, that's what we're saying. It was funny.
Yeah.
What we were saying up there was when I'm like, man, this should be, it's like Mystery Science Theater revamped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they're trying to do.
Yeah, and then when we were watching Star Wars today, then they came up with one of the commercials was for Riff Tracks. I'm like, God, somebody stole our...
Yep.
It's, like, no, we really, Riff Tracks was around basically since Mystery Science Theater quit. It was the guys who did that.
Right.
They just continued on and did a YouTube deal.
Well, the bad thing was that the commercial that they showed during the show was they were talking over Starship Troopers. And I'm like, that would be a good movie to start with.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's
hilarious.
But,
sorry. Sidetracked.
Yeah.
I started.
But, yeah, Civil War...
I'm intrigued.
I think it's going to be a good movie.
What's the one that's coming out at the end of the year?
You talking about Rogue One?
No.
Ragnarok is due.
Yeah,
that's next year. No, we saw a preview for it. It's coming
this
out
year.
Like November.
Wait, what? Yeah. No, we didn't see a preview for it. Ragnarok?
No, we were talking about because we got Deadpool.
Yep.
And then we've got...
Doctor Strange.
Yes. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Dude...
I'm so excited.
Did you see the stills from it so far?
I love
it.
Oh my god, you see him on screen, you're like, all right, he definitely has the look.
Yeah,
that is Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the only other person that I could see playing Doctor Strange would be
Robert Downey
Jr. Yep.
Which is, but he's, which was a point that me
he's,
and,
he's taken.
He's taken, yeah.
Which was a point that I brought up to Pete about this. I'm like, I'm going to love watching the interaction between Stephen Strange and Tony Stark when they first meet. And it's like, it's the same character.
Well, they are. But, they are. They're both arrogant assholes at the beginning. The difference is that
Tony's a scientist.
Always, No, the difference is that Tony continues to be an arrogant...
Strange.
What I mean by arrogant, what I mean by arrogant is confident in his abilities and, you know, like that. It's always about the science for him, but he knows that he, I got this, you know.
Oh, I can go all the way to make that.
Strange is the exact same way.
No, he is not. Strange started out as a man of science and didn't believe shit about mysticism and magic and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he was forced into it. But then he took that passion that he had for science and put it into magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Which is what I'm saying is that they're the same character. There's just one slight difference between them both.
Right. It's fun to sit back and let them fight, isn't it, Rhonda?
Love it.
But what I mean is that, you know, they both started out as arrogant, egotistical men of science.
It's Mr. Producer's Civil War.
Right, because I mean, Strange at the beginning when he was the neurosurgeon was pretty much like the best in the world.
Yeah, at neurosurgery, yeah.
And he knew it.
the reason
it's actually really hard to figure out what the difference between those two are.
There's, I mean, yeah mentality wise, there's not.
There's they're the same character. They're just their powers are different.
Right, but the difference is that Tony Stark, to be Iron Man, doesn't have to be the arrogant, egotistical person. I mean, to be Iron Man. To create all the stuff that he does and all that kind of stuff, yeah, he does. But, I mean, to actually be Iron Man, he doesn't. Strange has to be. He has to be supremely confident in his abilities.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
That sounds a lot like Constantine.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Because the thing about magic is that if you don't believe it, it ain't gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly Tony what John Stark, Constantine is.
Tony Stark's suit will still work,
right?
Whoever you stick in it,
right?
Right. But
has been proven multiple times already. They stuck Pepper in the damn thing. They stuck Rhodes in the damn thing. They stuck
Let's
the president.
Not talk about the third Iron Man movie. They let's stuck, leave that out.
They stuck the president of the let's, United States in
let's,
the thing.
Let's not do this because it's all bullcrap. They wadded up the comic books with the third movie. We all know that.
Yeah.
It was still better than the second one.
That's not true.
I will debate that.
I love
They got Whiplash. Right.
They nailed Whiplash.
Whiplash, yeah. The rest of it, I hated that movie. Iron Man 2 was more about setting up everything
in the MCU
than it was about Iron Man.
Remember, Frank, if you have PTSD, that just means that every once in a while you hyperventilate. Yep, see? Third movie is bullcrap.
I'm not saying I like that part of it, but I mean, as a whole, the third movie was better than the second one.
I think
Iron Man 2 is the worst movie of the MCUs they've made.
Not even, and I'm a Thor fanboy, not even the original Thor?
I'll take Thor away.
Yeah. I think the original Thor was a weaker standalone.
It was, but I don't think it was that bad.
It wasn't as bad as Iron Man 2.
I liked Iron Man 2 okay, but it was fairly forgettable. I think they did a lousy job in Iron Man 3 getting us to understand that Tony Stark had PTSD.
I didn't like the portrayal of the PTSD because I remember watching... You guys watched that with me. I remember watching that going, really?
Yeah.
Well, no, but Frank, the ending of that is critical. And that, I think that's what she's going for is that his solution to his problem is blow up all the suits, but then he shows up in Avengers... with a suit.
Well, he can build another suit.
They left it so weird at the end, like, where are we going with
this?
Yeah, I know.
That ending was not good.
I did feel that way because they gave him PTSD
to drive him, but then his drive to end the PTSD didn't equate with what we saw later.
Right. Yeah.
It was both a shallow attempt to portray a serious illness on screen, and the ending didn't make sense.
Yes, I didn't like...
And they ruined the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Unless
I don't.
The Mandarin is not the Mandarin,
and like, it was well, not, well, they said right out in the movie that that Mandarin's not the Mandarin. He was an actor, yeah.
And it was Tony Stark 3.
I liked.
I got like 5 minutes of Iron Man.
Yeah, but you got 42 Iron Men at the same time. Come on.
No, more is not better.
Call in Igor to hold up the building, but then I destroyed all the suits and the building's still standing.
You didn't destroy all the suits because I remember he said, no, don't blow up that one.
Yeah. You need to say this for the riff. You need to say this. This is Ghost on the Riff.
I guess we could do.
Iron Man 3 should be our first one.
Yeah, riff list.
Anyway.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
I know, because we're not there yet.
I gave her a list. I saw it.
Ah, okay.
I am most excited about Deadpool, though, next year.
We're a month away.
Which is interesting. Which comes out
next month.
Frank has not really read any of the Deadpool comics.
I have not. I've heard about him. I've studied him.
You've become intrigued.
Because I could see me being that crazy-ass son of a bitch. Yeah, he's that one guy that everybody wants to be. They want to be that wise, cracking.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
immortal BA.
Right.
Yeah.
Because not only is he out kicking ass and taking names, he's cracking jokes while he's doing
it. Oh, yeah.
Because we watched the first trailer.
There's a new one out.
Yeah, there is a new one out. You remember the trailer?
She would have seen it if she went to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
Did we see it?
No,
the opening night.
Oh.
She's seen it twice. I know what that means.
No,
she
I mean
saw
the original
opening
trailer.
Weekend.
No, the original trailer when they're fighting in the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, that was a screen test that got leaked.
Right.
But anyway, yeah.
Now, this is...
Which, you want to play the Red Band trailer.
Do you want to play the Red Band trailer,
You
want to
play the Red Band trailer, yeah.
Oh, hold on. Then let me go.
I got to go watch this.
Hold on, let me...
We can fight.
I'm trying to go back here.
I got to go watch this.
And Rhonda, I actually do have a question for you. I wanted to ask you about this.
Hold on.
My
computer's being slow.
We'll get to it.
Red Band Trailer 2. Here we go. 3 minutes. Wow.
It's long, but it's good.
Oh, we'll see.
That's not the Red Band
trailer. Hey, yeah! Oh, I didn't. No, it's not. Yeah. Hold on.
It starts the same, but this is better.
I was already dancing over here.
I did too.
They need to have, like the whole.
I just played the wrong one.
The whole soundtrack.
I guess I played the ones without the fucks
Sorry,
and shit.
I think I just yelled in your ear on it, but I was actually moving my shoulders too. Yeah, shoot, baby, shoot,
hey, yeah, hey, I'm gonna shoot, baby.
He's in attack. Oh,
kind of lonesome back here.
Little help here. Oh.
Excuse me.
Woo, Dopinda.
Cool. Dead.
Why the fancy red suit, Mr. Pool?
Oh, that's because it's Christmas Day, Dopinder. And I'm after someone on my naughty list. You're probably thinking, this was a superhero movie, but that guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a fucking kebab. Surprise! This is a different kind of superhero story. To tell it right, we gotta take you back before I squeeze this ass into spandex. Mr. Wilson. You've recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer.
We can fight this.
What if I told you we can cure you and give you abilities most men only dream of? I'd say that you sound like an infomercial, but not a good one, like Slap Chop, more shake weighty.
Oh, so he was like that beforehand.
If I never see you again, know that I love you.
When I'm finished, your mutated cells will heal anything.
But
you still think we're making you a superhero? We're making you a super slave. Come on.
You're going to leave me all alone here with Jose Canseco? Whatever they did to me made me totally indestructible and completely...
No.
Unfuckable.
You look like the inside of other people's assholes.
I didn't ask to be super, and I'm no hero. But when you find out your worst enemy is after your best girl, the time has come to be a fucking superhero. Ow!
Right up Main Street. Exco
deliver to you. One way for you to get it on your own. Exco deliver to you.
That is the Deadpool.
I don't have time for X-Men bullshit.
Was that over?
Besides, nobody's getting hurt.
Michelle Nichols.
That guy was up there before we got here.
I played a lot of roles. Damsel in Distress ain't one of them.
Time to make the chimichangas.
seen this man?
I never say this, but don't swallow. Shit. Did I leave the stove on?
Give it to you. Yeah, you're way too much dude for me. That's why I brought him.
Oh, she kicked his ass.
I mean, that's why I brought her? Oh, no, finish your tweet. It's not, that's fine. Just give us a second. We'll get her, Tiger.
Who's that?
Oh, I so pity the dude who presses her into prom sex.
Wow. I really cannot wait for it now.
So, Rhonda.
Yes.
The question I had for you.
Prom sex, was it good?
Was directing it towards you as a feminist.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the character of Deadpool in the comics or the trailers?
I recently picked up a Deadpool comic when Marvel rebooted again, whatever they rebooted. I don't like the comics. I think you have to have a real history with Deadpool to enjoy the comics, and I don't. I am going to love the movie because they
she
were
says
brilliant.
She says a person that doesn't like swearing either.
Based on it, everything that I've seen on it thus far, I don't know.
When did I say I didn't like swearing?
Three appearances ago. We'll call it up next show.
I think you're thinking of the wrong girl.
No, Regina's okay with swearing.
So is Rhonda.
Yeah, I
Rhonda
am too.
Like she doesn't like swearing. I remember
no,
that.
No, I said they didn't like swearing.
Because then I got really self-conscious. Oh,
no, I said they didn't like swearing.
Because I'm projecting Frank's thoughts onto you. Right. I apologize.
Yeah, that's not me.
Because they don't swear in their show.
Okay. Yeah, we try to make the show. Because we've had kids on the show before. We've interviewed young girl nerds and stuff. So we try to keep it.
So this is your outlet.
Yes. Yeah. Well, by everyday life is
fair,
but I can't, I have to keep it really, really tame at work. I've got a real, stodgy workplace, but, the movie is going to work. I don't know any of the feminist issues with the Deadpool series at all, but the brilliant thing about the movie is they cast Ryan Reynolds.
He is
women
a character
will forgive
that
a lot. If they can watch Ryan Reynolds.
I think the key to Deadpool as a character that constantly, through all evolutions of his comic book, constantly objectifies women into sex objects is that he never demeans them beyond that, if that makes sense. He really romanticizes wanting to fall in love with a beautiful woman.
Yeah, see, that, I think there's that, a difference.
He's a critique on nerd culture that you could be this immortal superhero, wisecracking Spider-Man, Wolverine hybrid that gets the girl. And the internal joke they injected into the comic book is that he's ass ugly because of his condition. So he could never appeal sexually to the opposite sex.
So you're saying Deadpool is basically the nerd in the basement personified.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why he constantly breaks the. It's a constant. It's a not an inside joke. It's a critique of the male nerd culture.
Oh, okay,
but one they've adopted at the same time. Gone. That's hilarious, and we should avoid being that stupid, crazy, nonchalant with our life and objectifying people. And
but they don't. Here we are.
I mean,
three
everybody.
Nerds in the
everybody
basement.
Thinks he's cool. I mean, everybody thinks he's super cool and they wish they could be like that. I think that's a very interesting viewpoint, actually. And I like that you've put that into my head so that when I watch it, that I'll be thinking of that. Because I'm thinking of him more of a cross between Batman and Joker. I think he's like a psychopath.
He is a psychopath.
So I've determined one thing.
But you
were not aware
humor.
Of the comic books.
No.
Because the thing they said in that, like Frank was like, so he was like that before the procedure. I think that's something they changed for the movies because before that, he was actually kind of straight-laced. Yeah, he joked around with his friends and everybody, but he wasn't like
that. Well, I meant those smart asses.
No, he really wasn't.
No, yeah.
The procedure that turned, they gave him Wolverine's powers. His regenerability is basically.
Just without the
claws. Yeah. So
that's why he's got swords.
The procedure.
You can say he's got guns. Yeah.
The cancer is what scarred him. The procedure drove him mad with pain. He's permanently actually insane.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of tongue in cheek critique of, would you actually go for this power? Would you go for that immortality if it made you this guy?
Right. No, I think Deadpool is actually more immortal than Wolverine.
That's if you pull into X-Men Origins. I was going to say,
didn't at one point, like, they actually decapitate?
Yeah, and he picked Deadpool, his head up and put it back on.
Yeah.
We shall not speak of that movie.
That movie sucks.
That was the worst portrayal of his powers you could actually put on screen.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. Origins.
Boy, you should have heard the language I was speaking just then.
Really? That's got to be your internet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Is that South Carolina? I guess.
Yeah, don't talk about them dirty Sunders.
Jim Bob mm-hmm. stopped peddling for a minute down at the phone company.
The hamster died.
Don't get me started.
I love that they
picked. It was shift change at the pedal factory for the
hardcore
internet.
Hardcore gangster rap. Like, that's the best. The whole music has to be that for the entire.
If I picked one song for Deadpool,
X
that was
gonna
it.
Give it to
X
you.
Go give it yeah. to you. Just the in your face. Here I am. That is the character in a song.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and I think you're right, too, that, I mean, Deadpool sort of throws all of this stuff in your face.
Yes.
And yeah. it's like the elephant in the room, and he's like, what are you guys tiptoeing around it about?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, quit being Mr. Goody Two Shoes about this. And the thing about it is, it goes both directions. He may objectify women, but women objectify themselves as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever hung out with a group of women getting ready to go out?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Forget it'll be first wave. I forgot.
Women are pretty. Women are mean to each other.
Yes.
I've noticed this with my wife. We'll go out. I don't know. I think the last example I can really think of is the last time I took her to a formal dining out with when I was still in the Army. Now, the guys, you know, we all wear dress blues, but, you know, women, they wear their dresses, and they, you know, it's a formal dinner. They get spanked up to the nines, you know. But you get in there, and the first thing the women do is they start looking at each other. saying, can you believe she wore that? Or look at her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm like, I thought this only happened in the movies, but no.
No. No, you guys know who Bonnie Burton is, right?
No.
Oh, she's a big female geek nerd on the internet. She wrote a book called Mean Girls, and it's about that thing.
It's not the basis for the movie, is it?
No.
Okay, I thought that was Tina Fey's creation.
Right. No, this is just women being catty against each other.
Yeah, it's sort of a like, look, women, let's take a reality check and let's start treating each other better. You're defeating your own cause, so it's nonfiction,
right?
I noticed
that, it seems to be like with the formal stuff, like when you're getting really dressed up, or yeah. when you're dressing to impress, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
especially when you get a group together. Like I said, you know, as soon as we walked in the door, my wife just started looking around. All of a sudden, she's like, "Can you believe she wore that? Look at her! No, don't look at her."
And see, I actually want it. I mean this as a man who's anti-third wave feminist, and I think Rana knows what that term means because she's probably seen all the MRAs use it, but I'm not anti-women. I'm anti-extremism. I'm anti-extremism as a whole. I want women to be able to walk in a room, share two common interests, or even one common interest, like dudes, and instantly become best friends.
Which
we saw in Star Wars properly portrayed. What's your least favorite ship to be on? This one? You want to escape together? Yeah. We're best friends.
Yep. Instantly.
Can you shoot? Kinda. All right. Here's the controls. This is complicated. Can you get it done? Yeah, I sure can.
Yeah.
Anyway, good shot, bro. Anyway, yeah, totally, bro.
Hold on. Save it, because we're not there yet. But I get what you're saying, though. Because dudes, I mean.
12 years. An Azkaban.
I mean, really. Matt and I became friends over podcasting.
Yeah.
That was the only common interest that we knew we shared.
Yeah.
And then we found out we were both nerds.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Star Trek, yeah. comics. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we had more to talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, Matt and I have a distinct age difference.
Yep.
You're even politically different.
Right.
But you're still friends.
Yeah. But we don't talk about that. Or when we
you
do.
You even dress differently. Yeah. But you're still friends.
Yeah. But women don't seem to be able to do that for some reason. I don't know.
That's exactly right. You stop there. You say, I don't know.
Yeah,
and that's it.
For all we know, it could be biological. It could be suicidal.
I'm a man, but I can change if I have to.
I guess. Duct tape.
Right.
Duct tape forever is an awesome movie.
Let's not get too sidetracked. That's a whole other subject. Matt just said duct tape forever is an awesome movie.
We're not meant to understand women.
If any man ever,
you guys have read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Of course.
If any man ever figured out a woman, the Vulcans would show up. And
It's not just men understanding women.
And then Finn Church. Anyway,
sorry, Rhonda. It's not just men understanding women.
Women could do a much, much better job in understanding men. And that's when I tried to understand men better, that's when my marriage improved. When I stopped thinking about how is it that he is not acting like a man, or how is it he's not acting like a husband, is when I stepped back and said, okay, what does he think a husband is? What does he think a man is? And why does he think that way? And it was like I went from being in the dark to being in the light. I was like, well, that's as valid. I'm not the end all be all of how manhood should be defined. Right.
You start to focus on the individual now, rather than the
having
concept. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Because John's manhood and John's what he is as a husband is an entirely different definition that I grew up with.
Right.
And if you think about it in that perspective, then you think as a woman, you know what? Your perspective is actually pretty narrow.
Right.
So who are you to decide that what he is doing is wrong?
Now, I will say that women, you know, I was talking about women being catty against other women. However, your close group of women friends, you know more about each other than me and Matt and Pete will ever know about each other.
Yeah.
Because men don't look for details.
No.
Like, Matt could walk up to me. Matter of fact, we
that's
had
actually
this conversation.
True. No.
This conversation when you got dumped the last time. Matt's like, she broke up with me. Oh, dude, that sucks. Here, have a beer.
Yep. That's about how that went.
Women.
Tell me everything happened.
He broke up with me. Wow, how'd that happen? What happened? Where? When? Why? What? Who? What? You know.
We could talk about it for a week.
Right.
Yeah.
And a week.
But like I said, with your friend, with your girlfriends, not with, you know, Jane Blow you just met down the street, but with
with Jane Blow.
Right. But I mean, especially with your close group, you know, your friends, like your friends from high school or Regina, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you know a lot more about what's going on with Regina the last 3 months than I ever will. But you're a lot closer to her, first of all. But
yeah, but there's a downside to that thing with the women is because they will meet a woman for the very first time and absolutely spill their guts. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know what? You need to shut up.
Right.
Do not have to share everything.
Right. But you see,
don't want to know all this.
Right. But I mean, you know, Matt's pretty much my best friend. And we pretty much just bullet point shit.
Yeah.
I broke up with my girlfriend. Oh, that sucks.
Yep.
That's all I need to know. I don't need to know why you broke up with her. Okay. I can't be friends with her anymore. Okay. You know.
Well, and it's not just that either. John and I are the opposites in that. And that's another reason why there are there are differences between the sexes as far as that goes. There's a majority that you can pretty much make a broad statement like that and say, yes, it's true. John and I are the opposite. I do not need a lot of conversation. I can't handle a lot of conversation. The having to tell a story to get something out just wears me out.
Right.
I don't want a bunch of talking. It's like I boil things down to bullet points.
Well, I think you're a little bit more mannish than the typical woman,
yes,
too, though.
I am.
You know,
but see, I think that tends to go toward personality type, though, more than it has to do with gender.
Right, but I mean, in general, you know, I mean, there are personality, because there's effeminate men that.
You're really stepping on some lines here.
I know, but when I say effeminate, I mean, there's men that want to spill their guts too, and
that's personality. That's not very much so.
Right.
That's not gender specific. Right. But that's personality based.
I tend to have the same reaction to them like you just said that you have to them, where you just need to shut up, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want, need, or care. That much.
Yeah.
Frank's lying. You're a pretty good ear to listen to if somebody starts talking. You give good advice back.
But that's the thing, though.
You argue if somebody was a butthole or not a butthole. You're a good sounding board.
Right, but that's kind of what we're getting at, though, is that men in general want to fix stuff. Women in general just want somebody to listen to them when they're complaining.
Okay, I thought you were saying you just told the guys to shut up completely. I'm like, no, you don't. Matt doesn't either. None of us do.
No, but what I mean is we don't get into stuff in great detail when we're talking about our personal feelings and lives and shit like that.
Do tell.
Me and Matt do.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
I don't mean down to intimate, like really gritty, nitty ditty.
You ever listen?
Like,
you ever,
I really wanted that. Yeah, I really, yeah, nothing like
you
that.
You ever listen to women best friends talk?
God dang it, Rhonda! You turned us into Oprah.
No. Like, because I look at my wife and her best friend. They tell each other everything. Her best friend probably knows how many times we've had sex.
Oh God. See, those women need to stop talking to each other.
And it drives me crazy sometimes. Because that's just how my wife is. She's one of those, she's got to tell her friends everything. And there's been times where I've heard her talking on the phone. I'm like, don't tell her that.
It's that toxic femininity.
Yeah.
Rhonda's voice when she...
Yeah, there's a certain... This is all so complicated, and the majority of what I think that you're saying is cultural definitions of gender. I think that that's the
right.
Some of what we fall into when we're trying to explain the differences.
Right. Now, obviously, everybody's different.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about generalities here, you know, in general.
Yeah.
The middle part of the bell curve, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, when I think about, okay, why is it that I don't spill my guts with my girlfriends, part of that's cultural. Part of that is my upbringing. Mm-hmm. Part of that is my personality.
Right.
And part of it is that my husband happens to be my absolute best friend in the entire world, and I respect him above anything else. And I would never intentionally do anything to embarrass him.
And I think that might be, you know, because you're talking about upbringing too, is, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've done in my lifetime, I can't talk about. And it's not because I don't want to talk about it. I legally can't talk about it.
Yeah. Until 50, 60 years passes that?
No, until somebody sends me a piece of paper saying, okay, you can talk about this now. You know? And... Yeah. And that's just, you know, that was kind of how I was, I won't say brought up because, you know, that happened after I was 18, but it's been ingrained in me over time.
It's a discipline.
And, you know, so I've just over time been very selective and very aware of what I'm discussing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Exactly.
I'm just one of those people because of that where I think the less information, the better.
Yeah, that's fair.
And see, this is one thing where the battle of the sexes to me doesn't exist because me and Matt came from very different upbringings.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
He's the oldest in the family of a single parent family where his mom raised him. I'm the youngest in a large family.
Do you know your dad?
I do. Okay. He was there for a few times.
I mean, recently since you've turned 18.
Once.
Okay.
Since he turned 18 once?
Once.
You visited your dad? No, three. I remember you coming back three times. Yeah,
yeah, it is three. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that because I push those out. I hate those things.
And it was like at least 3 days long for the shortest.
Yeah.
One time it was a week.
If you're forgetting those things, it kind of makes me wonder if in the back of your head you're pretty much like, fuck you for leaving, asshole.
Well, we have Star Wars to talk about. But anyway, the point I was getting to is that me and Matt could not come from more different backgrounds unless he was a member of a... Never mind. Anyway.
Right, but you grew up in a pretty close-knit family is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Close-knit, religious, rather conservative family.
We were not close-knit.
More so than...
The emotional conduit in my family was my father, which is
see how complicated it
see?
Is.
Yeah, exactly. There's no battle of the sexes to me. There's a battle of individuals trying to understand each other. Right. And the first thing they identify each other by is genitals. And the next thing they identify people by is their race,
mm-hmm.
which is the second. It's to me the larger elephant in the room, but it's still an elephant in the room. Everybody assumes that men and women are so different. I'm like, the upbringing is 10 times more important than the genitals.
It is. because Rhonda, you know, well, you heard me talk about it earlier.
The upbringing creates the identity that forms you as a person and the things you care about and the things and people you connect with are the things you care about.
Right. Well, yeah, you heard me talk about it earlier. You know, Rhonda in general is a little bit more mannish in her thoughts person. You know, the stereotypical mannish.
And to know why that is from my upbringing.
Exactly.
Because I thought being a woman was dangerous.
And the reason me and Matt, I think, are best friends is when...
Wait, dangerous?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think it was safe being a woman. And so
In what context?
I can't.
You can't define? Okay. I understand if you can't define. All right, sorry, go ahead.
So, as a child, growing up, observing female roles and male roles, it did not look safe to be a woman. And so I went on the defensive.
That's fair.
And so, as a defensive, I can't change my sex. As a child, that's the only conclusion I can come to. I can either be a mother or a father. I can be a wife or a husband. Mm-hmm. So, the idea of transgender was not even available. So it's like, okay, I cannot be perceived to be too feminine, and I have to conquer the male world to protect myself. And it didn't do me a disservice, except when I didn't want to embrace and feel okay with acting out as a woman. And now I feel great being a woman. I wore pink for an entire year. That was really
well. So did I. Not a year, but like
Matt wears pink whenever he can.
Yes.
And not for breast cancer.
Nope.
He just wears pink
because
here I am. See me, love me. That's pretty much how Matt rules. He's just like, look, here I am.
Yeah.
It's if a you loud, don't like obnoxious what you got, color.
Yeah.
Screw you.
And it's because of that whole gender concept of, well, you're a guy, so you can't. It's like, well, I can fucking wear whatever the fuck I want.
I'll be honest with you. I had a phase where I went through, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to wear like a pink shirt.
It was
like a pink button down shirt with a suit, you know, that kind of thing or something like that.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long. I'm not going to say I couldn't get comfortable with it. It just didn't feel right to me, but I tried it.
Well, and there's another culture, I can never remember which one it is, where the colors are the opposite. Yeah. The boys wear the pink and the girls wear blue.
You're talking about pre-1930s America.
Well, but it's another culture, too, and I can't remember whether it's Japan.
Because I know in your readings you've probably come across the fact that in olden days, the boys' color was pink.
Yeah.
Because it was considered a lighter shade of red, which was the masculine dominant color, right. And blue was the passive, calming color. Right. That was the woman color.
Do you see how random this stuff is? It is.
Yeah.
But I mean, you guys know me. Look at pretty much everything I own. It's either black, blue, or gray.
Yeah.
I like those colors, though. So personally, I like black. I like blue. I like gray. And it's not because I'm super depressed and hate the world. It's
it's all my husband wears is black.
Right. Black, blue, or gray. You know.
I might wear brown just because everybody tells me it's my color. And you know what? I kind of like brown, too. If I can find a good brown shirt, I'll wear it.
Or dark green. Yeah. I like dark green, too.
Yeah. That's actually my favorite color is hunter green. But, yeah.
I just really love the feminine turn this is all taking when we're talking about fashion and our feelings. Sorry, Regina isn't here.
I just
here.
Made well, the mistake the, of the, sipping out of the ash can for the...
Oh, you did that again?
Yeah.
The point I was getting to is that there's a weird thing like male absolute besties that it applies to Frank too if Frank ever did it. But I know when Matt comes and talks to me about something really weird, he tells his mom everything. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything. He'll tell his mom what happened tonight on the show, like almost point for point. But...
As best as I can remember.
If Matt randomly messages me on Facebook or comes and talks to me about it, I know one thing is certain. He couldn't talk to anybody else about it.
Ah, interesting.
We always form that one connection, whoever it is, that you can tell anything to.
See, the only person that I tell everything to like that is Mary.
Yeah, and that's
and
fine.
And you're married to her. That's fine.
Right. Yeah.
That's your bestie. That's your friend for life. That's who you're.
But I think that's where things get a little screwy, even with her.
That's why she joked tonight about me, Mary, and Matt. I was like, it's not financially soluble for Matt and me to marry each other right now.
We've already had this conversation.
For the tax break, sure.
Yeah.
And right. The benefits, and the health benefits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
Matt, there's not a council of rich white men that have to stay in the room and watch us consummate the vows anymore. That passed away in the 1700s, Frank.
Matt doesn't need the extra mouth to feed, basically. But no, I mean, even with Mary, you know, there's things that, you know, that's bitten us in the butt. Is even with her, there's things that I can't talk to her about. Which causes me sometimes to even be cautious with the things that I tell her. There's things that I probably could tell her that I don't. Mainly because it would probably scare the crap out of her. But, anyway, you know, like I said, you know, even there, that's where the training and the shit that I've done even buttresses up against that relationship. And we're married. Mm-hmm. I tell her, I won't say everything, but I tell her as much as I can. But even then, I still have to have that filter there.
Have you guys seen that Facebook meme where it's talking about, like, the best friend is the person you call and they bring a shovel?
Mm-hmm.
Like to bury the body? I think the best friend is the person you call and the only line of dialogue you have to give them is, I finally did it. I killed them. Hey, bring a shovel and duct tape to this location. You just say, I finally did it. I killed them. And their response is, where are you? All right, I'm bringing a shovel and duct tape. We got it.
See,
that's all you need in life.
And you see, that's the bad thing about it is that there's exactly one person that I would be able to talk to about anything. Including the stuff that I can't talk about. He died 12 years ago.
Nuts.
So I don't have that person.
Now that was a male response on my part. Nuts. Well, that it sucks.
He was my spotter.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I always
12 hours of conversation when you're waiting for a target. All right.
I always forgot that you were a sniper.
What are we going to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's...
But he was there for everything that I can't talk about, so I could talk to him.
Exactly.
And yeah. You know, no. That's like one of those final pieces that clicks into place. I'm like, I never even asked about your spotter. No. I never even asked about
it. And I think this is the first time I've ever brought it up.
Yeah.
It actually is for me. But anyway, yeah, no, I see. But there's a... What? See, I say there's no battle of sexes, but then there's two dudes that as soon as he said that, we instantly understood what spotter meant, yeah. How much time they spent together, what they probably talked about in their downtime, the connection that was formed.
Yeah.
Right. And immediately our reaction is, yeah, we could probably never compare to that, even on our best day.
I couldn't, yeah.
Unless the aliens invade today and me, Matt, and Frank form a squad, the camaraderie forged in battle is something we could never hope to attain to. We automatically knew that. Probably because we were shown different material growing up because we had a different set of genitals.
Right. But Mary is actually going through. I was talking about my wife's best friend that she tells everything. Her husband right now was just. Hold on, I'm gonna have to take the downer pill here. Her husband was just diagnosed a couple of weeks ago with stage 4 cancer.
Like torso cancer, there's specific body parts, but it's mastocyzed all over in there.
Colon / stomach / liver / little spots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer.
Slim and Nun are still both in town, but they're still Slim's saddle on his horse. That's the worry.
Yeah.
Right. and the biggest problem that I've had right now is trying to get her. He's still here. He's still alive. Quit worrying about him dying. He's not dead yet. You know, live in the now.
Would you house me?
Yes.
I would do my best to house you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I would absolutely.
You, Frank, watch that, too. I would house Frank, too.
Right.
Let's buy some Harleys and let's run around forever until you die. Right.
Yeah.
But where I'm getting at here is in the last few days, his fraternity brothers from college have decided that they're going to shave their heads for him.
Yeah.
And she hasn't understood why they're doing that. But she wants to do it. And I said, no, because that's not your place.
Yeah.
I said, fraternity brothers in college are kind of... Not, you know, I'm going to say kind of, closer than brothers almost. Kind of like the guys that I served with in the military.
Mm-hmm. If they open it to other people, she totally could. Not should, totally could.
Right, but I mean right now it's just the fraternity
brothers. They just all post pictures of each other's doing that and it's just because they were fraternity brothers, that's their thing. That's their symbolism.
Yeah. Right, but what I mean is, you symbolism. Know, I mean fraternity... fraternity
symbology.
You know, fraternity brothers in college, sorority sisters, same thing. That's a tight-knit
group. That's their gesture.
Almost, like I said, almost obviously not forged the same way, but it's almost like, you know, me and the guys that I served with in the Marines. You know, there's things that we do that we don't want you to be part of.
This is kind of our this is our gesture. Mm-hmm. Not saying you can't ever be a part of it, but this is something we've all decided to do as a group in a closed door meeting sort of thing. And if you jump into it, you're just kind of assimilating it.
But I mean, also, you know, I mean, just the feeling of, you know, brotherhood, solidarity, the connection between fraternity brothers is a pretty close bond. Just. You know, like I said, the same way that I feel about the guys that I served with in the Marines.
Yeah.
Like I said, not forged the same way, but the feelings are the same. You know, it's a familial type relationship.
Yeah.
I take a multi-viewed stance on that. If Mary, as a woman with her over shoulder length head of hair, shaved her head, I would go, wow, what a profound gesture. But then if I was in that fraternity, I'd go, what the hell? We just got trumped.
Yeah.
Somebody played the Jack of Spades. What the heck?
But I never joined a fraternity in college.
There's a lot of butt slapping going on.
I was asked numerous times, And I was like, this was after I was in the Marines.
You're like, I already did
and
all
I was
this
like,
crap.
If you think I'm going to let that 19-year-old piece of shit try to haze me, I'm like, screw you. You go run across that fucking field while I shoot at you, and I'll show you fucking hazing.
That's when you're like, this is child's play to the crap that I went through. And
exactly.
I blame Rhonda.
It's all her fault.
For all of this. She her mere presence has soothed this into an area where we're talking about her masculinity. How dare you?
Well, we had a couple of more things on our list here before we get to the big one.
God dang it.
Are you staying late now?
Yeah. No.
We should go to the big one.
No. Well, we still have an hour left.
Do you have to go soon, Rhonda?
No.
She never
Good.
Has to go.
You just stay all night because this is Star Wars we're getting to. Right. We're building to it.
We did
can't
have a,
stay all night.
Well, you should. Know, I mean, the 3 hours of the show is what I mean.
Yes.
We did have a couple of other things really quick. These won't take that long.
Famous last word.
That's what you said.
No. These won't. These
four
won't.
People, four very strong.
Because
opinions.
What were the? I think the only other thing is I had. Oh well, okay, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda's pulling it up. I can hear her.
The next one on the list is I was talking about. I can't wait for the next season of Agent Carter, mainly because it's supposed to deal with her founding S.H.I.E.L.D.
I really want to see that.
Yes,
I wish that was the show.
But I mean, founding it back in the day with Howard Stark.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love
to. I want that to be the show. I want
that, that's supposed to be the second season, is them doing that.
Of all the seasons, like I think the final episode of Agent Carter should be S.H.I.E.L.D. getting the official stamp. Because then an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers and Captain America Winter Soldier, they tear it all down.
Right.
I think it would be very cyclical and very... building to the story. Sorry, that's my personal opinion. And
that's a cool thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, staying on the feminist topics here for a couple of minutes, we may have to do Star Wars in overtime. I don't know.
No.
These won't take that long. I don't think
she has a
because,
sleep schedule
because I have a very. Anyway. Every single MOS in the military is now open to women.
Oh, yeah. That thing that happened.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. Because 99.9% of women that join the military don't want to be in the infantry. 95% of men that join the military
don't want to be in the infantry. Yeah.
The women that do want to be in the infantry can probably hack it.
Yeah.
Same thing with the men. Usually the guys that want to be in the infantry can probably hack it. The guys that want to be in tanks can probably hack it. The women that want to be in tanks can probably hack it. The guy that wants to be the paper pusher staff weenie probably can't hack it in the infantry.
Mm-hmm.
But neither could the woman that wants to be the paper pushing staff weenie. The way I've always felt about women in the infantry, women in combat, you know, frontline roles, is here is the set of standards that we have determined. If you can meet these standards, welcome aboard.
You'll find no argument from me on that. Absolutely.
And for the gays.
Same thing.
And for the transgender. I said the gays because it's a gay sexuality. But
right.
And the transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other kin, omnisexual, pansexual, but the
worst case scenario, you put all the gays in their own company because somebody's got to make the country look beautiful again after we bomb the shit out of it.
Oh, God.
That was an old joke from somebody I don't know back in the day.
But I was going off of Alexander the Great, something Matt actually came up with years ago.
Gays in the
middle. Wow.
You did?
I don't remember it.
You were talking to a guy that was talking about women and gays in the military, and you said you're telling me you would be completely willing to ostracize the modern day equivalent of Alexander the Great based on their sexuality or gender.
Oh yeah, I remember this point. Yeah, of where you're
just a pure combat tactical
genius.
General genius because of what they do with their privates or what set of privates they have.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, now, yeah, no, I do remember
the entire
that. Yeah,
time.
Thank you.
The entire time in the military. I never distinguish. This is me personally. I can't speak Marine Corps wide or Army wide or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I never really distinguished between men and women because we all wore the same uniform.
Right, yeah.
Basically, we all had pretty much the same basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And I never worried about the women that were in my unit, because I was not in the infantry to start with. I never worried about the women that were in my unit not doing their job. I never worried that if they had to pick up a rifle that they couldn't shoot. I think what some Marines were worried about is women in the infantry, they're saying they have to be able to carry 80 pounds, march for so long. And then my definition of a woman in the infantry was always, I got shot. Can you carry my 220-pound ass off the battlefield? That was always my definition of an infantryman. You know, I know that guy can. Can that 115-pound woman? That was always my concern. With women in the infantry. That hasn't changed. But if we come up with one set of standards and we say, here are the standards, meet them.
And as long as the appropriate data is set to where that it is effectively.
Exactly.
It's finding
it's
that
meetable.
Fine. Yeah, yeah, exactly, for both sides of it. As long as you can find that
standard. No, I don't want it to be meetable. I want it to be job specific. Here are the requirements
yes.
of the job.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is there's that 115-pound girl that can haul your 230-pound ass off the battlefield.
Welcome aboard.
If the standards were meetable for her to get in,
right.
then she can do it. We know that.
But what I mean is that we cannot afford, especially in the military, to lower the standards so more women can meet them.
No.
I agree.
It needs to be, here to be in the infantry, here's what you need to be able to do. You need to be able to carry 90 pounds of gear. You need to be able to carry a 20-pound machine gun. You need to be able to lift fire. You need to be able to at least drag a 220-pound Marine out of the line of fire.
Yeah. You'll never get an argument from me against that. That's
But the job requirements to be an infantryman are completely different than the job requirements to be a paper pushing staff weenie.
Right. I agree. I totally agree with that.
You know, so like I said, there has to be one standard. These
Do
are the
Marines
standards.
Have staff weenies?
Yeah.
I thought every Marine was a rifleman first.
Every Marine is a rifleman first. And that's what I was talking about. Every Marine is a rifleman first, and I never worried about the women in my units to be able to pick up a rifle and go because they got the same basic training
mm-hmm.
as every other Marine.
Yeah.
Which is the other side of the argument. The Marines have always trained women separately from men. They got the exact same training, but they just put the women over here and the men over here.
So they didn't bump uglies in the bunk room.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be trying to get laid in boot.
Every other service has integrated basic training. The Marines haven't. Now they're being forced to. Beginning in a couple of months, actually. I have a little bit of a problem with this. Just because, having gone through it, boot camp is not a time where you need that distraction. On either side.
Rondang was going to hit the same thing.
I'm talking about both ways because this is something that I saw on the Army because having served both in the Marines and the Army, I've seen both non-integrated boot camp and integrated boot camp at work.
Mm-hmm.
Marines, you never had to worry about it because they're over there. We're over here.
There's some assumptions that you're taking with this.
No.
Yes.
No, these are not assumptions. These he's are not. Life. These are experiences.
Here's
that
what
I
Frank's
personally
saying.
Witnessed.
Both sides want sexual contact as much as the other.
Right.
Fair.
That's
okay.
What he's assuming
I gotcha.
In this conversation.
Okay.
That he didn't, didn't want to say.
Right.
There we go.
The difference is that the Marines, when the women are over here training and the men are over here training, you take away that typical, especially because you got to remember, pretty much everybody, with the few exceptions, going through boot camp are 18-year-old horny motherfuckers.
It's very true. I can agree with that.
I think all but one person in my platoon was 18 years old. We had one guy that was 32. He was a former officer in the Russian army that defected to the United States.
Oh, cool.
And decided to join the Marines like a month after he defected.
He's like, well.
Right, but other than
welcome to the McDonald's dollar menu.
Right. But pretty much everybody's 18 years old, and I know what I was like at 18. You know what you were like as 18.
I do.
At 18 years old, you got one thought on your mind before you joined the military.
That's where I have the issue with it. You're making a broad generalization for people. I do.
I'm talking about the kind of people that join the military.
That's not the issue.
This is in general.
What was that, Rhonda?
That's not the issue. Right. I have a hard time believing. I think that sex is oversold. I think sex is given a priority that it shouldn't be given. And you can't tell me that the kind of training and discipline and focus that a Marine gets. And you can't discipline him not to hump the chick in the next bed.
And this is what I was trying to get to.
That's ridiculous.
Is having seen both the Marines who train separately and the Army who train integrated. The Army has a big problem in boot camp with exactly what you're talking about, Rhonda. Trying to sneak off to the stairway.
She's saying you should be able to control yourself.
You would think you would be able to.
I'm actually going to back up Frank on this as a guy that was just a contractor.
Right.
The military is full of a bunch of horny mofos, whether they're male or female. They are. They're overpaid and undersexed. Both
right.
Genders.
Right. Well,
it really is.
I'm just talking about basic training here.
You're denied booze. You're denied. Let's say you used to score a joint on the side. You're denied that. You're denied going to the movies. You're denied a lot of things.
Right.
The only outlet you have is humping your preferred set of genitals and it's right in the bunk next to you, it might actually be
now,
right there.
So you're telling me that if there are
no women in the barracks, then you're going to hump the guy next to you even though you're heterosexual? Because your needs are so important, they're so vital, you've been denied everything,
Rhonda,
that as a heterosexual male, instead of sneaking out and going to the movies or sneaking a joint, you'll hump the guy in the next bed.
No, they won't hump the guy in the bags. 99.9% of them just go in the bathroom and jerk off.
What's
the difference then if there's a girl?
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
I'm telling you from personal experience.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with your experience at all.
Right.
I completely agree with your experience, but I think that there are two problems here. Number one, the attitude of Americans of the importance of sexuality and the idea that as an 18-year-old you're horny and undersexed. I don't know who said that word, but that's
ridiculous.
That was Pete.
And it was the British that said it first.
Right.
The idea that the human body has got to have a certain amount of sex and that is like physically, it's like come on, people, get control of yourselves.
You would think that would, in a perfect world.
And
yes.
Number two, it is the military's responsibility not to do a social experiment by putting women and men together just to say there's diversity without having discipline and consequences, mm-hmm. because they're just like every other job in America where they put men and women together and the women are harassed or the men are harassed and it's covered up.
Mm-hmm. And that's what
I tag me in. I got this
right. That's actually what I was trying to get to is the stuff that had, I mean, the Army again, being integrated, they do tell them from day one, look, you're all soldiers. Now, first of all, they don't sleep together in the same barracks. They do still separate them when they're sleeping and showering and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, when they're actually training as a unit, they're together. For some reason, I don't know why, it seems to... I don't know how to explain it. I know what happens because I've seen it. I've lived it. Army recruits, for some reason, because they're around women during that training, for some reason they decide that sex is the only outlet they have. I really don't know how to explain it, but they just do. They look for any opportunity to do it. I mean, on both sides, not just men. I mean, women too. it takes two to two to tango.
That's very true.
But the women are the same way in Army boot camp. They're looking for a guy that they can just, and it's not even really necessarily about sex. It's just relieving stress, almost. You know what I mean?
You're so close to a really good psychological point, well, but you can't complete it. Let me help.
Then what's the problem?
Tag me in, Frank. Let me come in off the rope.
But what I'm saying is,
don't go ahead and let them train? If they're both consenting adults, then what's the big deal?
I don't know. But in the Marines, because we were separated, because
he can't say it,
I never once thought about trying to sneak over into another. Well, of course, I went to San Diego, so there were no women at all on the post. So. I never once had the thought.
Pendleton is
No, this is MSRD San Diego.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All the women train at Parris Island.
Oh, okay.
So they do, there are women and men both at Parris Island, but they're on separate parts of the base. I don't
know. I can do this, trust me.
It becomes a distraction in training is the easiest way I can think about it.
Let me help.
Go ahead.
Please help.
Okay. From the reinvention of the British Army, from the British Civil War, remember Alexander Cromwell? If you don't remember him, you didn't read about him. But from the invention of the military under him, it became the creation of professional army. It became the concepts of drill, cadence, actually taking a guy away from society or person. Let's remove sex from it. Removing a person from society as it functions on a day-to-day, you wake up, you go to work, you buy groceries, you go home, et cetera, et cetera. And forcing them into a pathology of following orders, procedures. It, in the simplest terms of the term, it is brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, right now, maybe not blindfolded, could take apart M4 carbine rifles.
Right.
Put it back together, scrub it, and present it to me. And I'm untrained. I just go, yeah, that's fine. But he'll do it.
Right.
That's something they did to him in boot and in basic. The simplest thing from turning down your bunk properly, the way you fold the sheet, the way you pull the top sheet back, those little like 4-inch perfection gaps, driving it home, almost beating it into you, is a way to actually form you into something they can stamp out. That's in basic and that's in boot. From then on, after you're released from that training, after you're given the go-ahead to go into this recon, into sniper, into artillery, armor, then you're given leeway because they know for those 3 months, question mark, Frank, Yes.
Well, it depends on the branch, but yeah.
Ipso facto. At two, 3 months, they have stamped into you the basics of the person they need you to be to fulfill the job. That's why the army, the military in any country is different from any other job in that respect. They don't just train you to do a job and sit you at a desk. They completely transform your mentality from this is the way society normally functions to at any moment in time, we might ask you to kill someone.
Mm-hmm. And that's why even...
and you need to be able to pull that trigger and with no remorse.
Right, and what Pete's talking about there is kind of the reason why even the other branches of the service consider the Marines almost cult-like.
Yeah, so when he's talking about distractions and the importance that sexual drive, even if it's 10% of a person or 1% of a person that may want to get laid, the military has always, from the time of the British Civil War, when a first professional, and we know how awesome that was from the Revolutionary War, I mean, the British Redcoats were really intimidating. We only beat them through attrition in the Revolutionary War. What a professional brain, I'm using the unofficial term, brainwashed military force can do. And if there's any branch of the military that focuses on the core training more than the other branches, it's the Marines. The Army can be kind of jack of all trades. The Army still has a small air force. They still have a few jets, a few helicopters.
No, the helicopters are in the Army.
Yeah, they have a few jets.
They have
But
the Marines are our shock troopers. They're the guys that we send in to fulfill the basic.
Right. The Marines pretty much.
So that's what Frank's getting at with this point, is that it's not okay for every other branch, but the thing that bothers him about his branch and this branch in particular is the training of this, the distraction-free presence of the training is more important than any other branch. And for both sexes, no matter what you do, no matter how driven they are to be in the military, either sex is still, no matter what you do, going to have that 1%, I need to put slot A into tab B. Or I need tab B to be filled by slot A, or I need tab A to rub against tab A. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
it's still going to be present there. So the worry for Frank in this division of the military is that I actually love the Army in particular of our defense forces. Frank obviously loves the Marines. That was his core. That's his thing. Our Marines are our shock troopers. They're the guys that when all else fails, they have training.
Right.
That's the persistent worry. Am I wrong?
No. Yeah. And you see, well, that's the thing always about the Marines. The Marines are supposed to be the first in and basically
almost the last out, if not
First in, last out. But pretty much, yeah, like he said, we're the shock troops. We're the, for lack of a better term, we're the stormtroopers of the...
And granted, the Imperial Army didn't have anything but stormtroopers, but they are the storm. They're the guys we send in to weaken the objectives or hold them, and then we send in the rest.
Right.
The training is the core of the core.
Right. See, unlike every other branch of the military, you know, Pete said it right there. Every Marine a rifleman, including women Marines.
Yeah. I agree.
The Army doesn't train like that. The Navy doesn't train like that. The Air Force especially doesn't train like that.
And I know I'm kind of mansplaining with this, but the highest trained military faction in the world, no matter what Frank says, is the British SAS.
Right, but
they think our Army, are literally the United States Army, is kind of pathetic in their training.
But
they think the Marines are nutcases because they're going to charge artillery. They're going to do whatever it takes to get the training of our Marines. I don't know if it's a mythology almost.
Well, the other thing too is you got to remember
when all else fails, we have the Marines.
Right. Plus, the thing too is that the training that we get in basic training as a Marine is stuff that you don't learn in the Army until you're like in for 10 years.
Right. You're troopers.
Right. Because I switched. I made it to a corporal, or an E4, a middle management, basically.
Got 3 rounds of ammo and half an MRE. Fuck the enemy.
In the Marines. And in the Marines as an E4, I was doing, when I transferred into the Army, you know, obviously I kept the same rank as an E4, but the shit that I was doing in the Marines as an E4 was the same shit that staff sergeants and sergeants first class and guys that were 3 and 4 ranks above me we're just barely learning how to do that I learned in basic training.
Yeah.
You know, I was running a platoon at E4. You don't do that until you're an E6 or an E7.
Right. And,
in the Army.
And I definitely understand, and I'm not trying to distract, to like downplay that. Isn't it a possibility to potentially rework that, you know?
Not for basic training, no. I don't think so. Job-specific training is already integrated.
Isn't it worthwhile to look into it?
I don't think so. Not for basic training, no. Like I said, job-specific training has already been integrated in the Marines. There's no job in the Marines. Well, I take that back, because until recently, there, you know, infantry, artillery, and tanks were closed to women. But even those have been open to women, and they're integrating women into them for the schooling. Basic training is a different animal in the Marines, and I don't know how to explain it to somebody that's never been to it.
Here's why. You call it boot.
Yeah.
That alone sets it apart. Everybody else has basic training. Marines have boot camp. Yeah. You're in your boots 99% of the time.
Right, and
if I was an enemy leader against America right now, I would be 100 times more scared of a company of Marines than I would be 1,000 other troops.
Oh, and they are.
Because that's always the running joke. Those say, you know, a Marine, they'll say, you know, like 200 Iraqis are on one side of the hill, and they're sending people over the hill saying, hey, you know, booga booga, go over there and take out that objective. And he's dead. Then they send two over. Then they send five over. Then they send all 200 of them over.
Because before I met Frank and heard his pro-Marine propaganda, I still knew what Marines were compared to the rest of the military. Yeah. And
right.
The key is their distraction-free, simplistic training. You learn to assemble rifle. You learn to make bed. You learn to eat when told to eat. You learn to kill when told to kill.
You
are the Marines.
Right. And the whole point of Marine boot camp is that you stop thinking of the individual and you start thinking of the collective whole.
Right, and I completely understand that.
And if you give any way or route whatsoever to continue to think of the individual, they'll take it.
So
true.
In completion to Rhonda, the separation of the sexes in Marine boot camp in particular was a devotion to the tactic of completely distraction-free training. And even I'm not so worried about it as Frank, but even I have to kind of wonder at the outcome now that there is the possibility that one out of 20 squad members wants to screw another squad member regardless of their gender or sexual orientation. Now I'm actually going, what are they distraction-free? Because drill sergeants were determined to make your training distraction-free.
Exactly.
Period. In any form. Booze, weed, women, men. It doesn't matter. It was distraction-free training. You learn to do what the Corps tells you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want it to be mistaken that I am pro-equality in the military, mm-hmm. because I honestly don't know how I feel about it. I have flipped over the years. The thing to me that gets confusing is if you put the cart before the horse. What is the military for? What does each branch, what is its purpose? And how does it succeed at that purpose? Then that's what you execute. You don't come along and say, okay, you know, we somehow we've got to include women, and it dilutes the mission.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to get to. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Right.
For every job, no matter what the job is, if you ever deviate from the mission for a socio-political achievement or agenda, you have left your mission and you're not going to succeed at what you're doing.
You're endangering soldiers at that point.
Yeah.
See, I'm not as pessimistic as Frank in saying that this is going to turn out bad. I'm saying
I think it is.
For the Marines, especially, I think it will.
Okay, so I thought you were you're objecting to the fact that people need sex no matter what. Is that what you were objecting to, if I remember?
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, that they have a overpowering biological drive for sex.
Yeah, I do, but okay. I mean, after Frank's explanation, after your explanation of removing,
holy crap! I convinced a person. Never mind, I'm done. Yeah. Yeah, I win. All right, we're moving on.
I mean, when you
we're on the internet, and I won an argument. That's on the books, everybody. Sorry, Ron, that's a joke. I'm just kidding.
No, I think I don't think it. Hold on.
Yeah, Matt's like, holy shit, that just happened?
I don't think it was necessarily winning an argument. I think it was just providing information that she didn't have.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I got too excited. It must be the five beers.
And, of course, we lost her.
No!
Yeah, no, well.
I wasn't insulting her.
He's trying to get the call back. No, I mean, lost her as in the call dropped again, so hopefully she'll be back here in a minute. But, like I said, I don't think it was my
explanation of military training, especially the Marines, accurate.
Right. And that's what I said. I don't think it was necessarily,
No, you're back.
I don't think it was necessarily a matter of.
I'm sorry, Ron. I was not making fun of you. I was making fun of myself. Right. I argue a lot on the internet.
I think it was a matter of more fully informing Rhonda of the realities of what actually goes on during boot camp.
Holy crap. A person that actually took an information and processed it. What's wrong with this world? What's going on?
The thing is, I mean, I remember my original views were absolutely positively women should not be in the military at all. Period.
Wow. Really?
But yeah, I was much more.
Can you give a reason why?
Like I said, I was extremely conservative. I was very black and white, and I had no real good explanation for it except that I thought that that was just the patriarchal society, and that was the best way things were done.
Okay, so we're talking really old views.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Really long time ago. But as far as the keeping and maintaining in a society in a world that we have right now with people like China and North Korea and Russia, Soviet Union, everybody, the military is key to this, and it always has been. I want the military to maintain its goal. I want the military to maintain what it's supposed to be doing. And inside the boundaries of Utah or New York or wherever the hell else, they can do whatever they want with diversity. As long as our military is able to maintain their superiority. And if a woman can qualify to do that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if she dilutes that situation, then, do like the Israelis did. The women had their own military, completely separate. And I was under the false assumption that they were always integrated, and they were not.
No.
Even now they're not. You know, they still have a lot of women. They have women in the infantry, but they're their own units.
Yes.
Frank might actually appreciate this anecdote, which actually helped to form some of my personal political opinions, which are not up for debate, but just a story that coincides with this topic. Speaking to a Canadian reservist who was an officer rank, and I was just saying that his particular rank, and I'm not going to go into it on here in the show, was unorthodox to keep on reserve.
Mm-hmm.
We just got on the topic. We were discussing it friendly. We were not debating anything. And I said something about U.S. foreign policy. And he made the point of saying, well, one of the reasons that Canada, the U.K., and France are able to keep such a large reserve force is because the United States has such an active, mobile, and readied force at its disposal. And it opened my eyes a little bit to the NATO treaty, what it predisposes and everything. And I'm like, so the conception that America is the D-bag, the douchebag police force of the world is not universal. There are people that understand the concept of having a very strong military force in one allied country. There's the
right.
And I'm on the same mind of you,
Rhonda. Most of them will whenever we pull out.
We need to keep that both technological training and sizable military force edge with allies.
Right. Well,
and that's why that our politics is can be so damaging.
They can be, yeah.
I mean, when you have politicians that are playing with laws and they're playing with legislation just to get elected and to get funded, then they're putting our military up as sacrifice.
Right. I want our military force to be a force that is feared but is not continually present throughout the world.
Yes.
Do not kick the beehive.
That's the Teddy Roosevelt argument. It was always the speak softly and carry a big stick.
Gunship diplomacy.
The whole reason why we have this huge military force is to make people think twice before fucking off.
I told you I was a different breed of liberal from him. We're the same on many things, but military, me and Matt differ. I love the thought of any country coming to the negotiating table with the United States has to reside in the fact that, no, you're not screwing with us. We will not be screwed over. There we go. That's the term. We will not be screwed over.
No, and I mean,
we have the
past
means to defend ourselves and defend our allies. That's what I want.
In the past 8 to 12 years, we've failed at that. And people think that, you know, they can screw with us.
So about Star Wars.
I think so.
Yeah. I think we're at that point.
I really want to talk about Star Wars.
Yes, very much so.
I think Frank should give you the Bill O'Reilly and give you the last word. Let's move on to Star Wars.
No. Hold on. This is how.
I'm Prince Ives. Ask you for key and the recall code. Have you got them handy, sir?
I told you to take it easy, Group Captain. There's nothing anybody can do about this thing now. I'm the only person who knows the three-letter code group.
Then I must insist, sir, that you give them to me.
Might take a minute to get to the pertinent point.
Do I take it, sir, that you are threatening a brother officer with a gun?
Mandrake?
How I Learned to Love the Bomb?
Yep.
I suppose it never occurred to you that while we're chatting here so enjoyably, a decision is being made by the President and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I do, sir. No.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought.
I perfectly agree with that.
It's so very tongue-in-cheek, Frank.
I can no longer sit back and allow...
Up until the very end of this, I perfectly agree with
that. Communist
this.
Indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
And that's where he loses me.
Rhonda, do you know the quote?
I do not. I've heard it several times.
That's
but
from Dr. Strangelove or How I Came to Love the Bomb.
Yeah.
Or
How I Came to Love the Bomb.
Right. No, it's Dr. Strangelove and How I Learned to Stop Worrying.
Oh, and Stop yes. Worrying. Yep, sorry.
And Love the Bomb. It's from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome movie.
It's a completely tongue-in-cheek movie. If you ever get the chance to watch it, you really need to watch it.
But yeah, that's one of those that should be on my list.
I really do want our military to be brainwashed killbots, but I want someone smart to have the activation button.
But no, I don't. Because the brainwashed killbots that you're talking about is what Nazi Germany was in the 1940s.
Hey, that didn't work out so bad.
Except they lost.
Well, I mean, now Germany is one of the industrial leaders economic leaders of Europe.
I want...
Oh, we're dealing with, like, the present. Okay, yeah, in the present.
I want an army that can think, that can improvise and adapt. I want small unit leaders that can take control of situations. You know, the word should not be coming completely from the top.
Speaking of small unit leaders that took control of a situation, how about that F12187?
Awesome guy.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into Star Trek or Star Wars. We've got 20 minutes.
This is one that's going to branch a little over.
Well, maybe for the three of us, but yeah. I'm sure Rhonda doesn't want to stick around into overtime.
Go ahead. I was getting ice cream.
I just saw it today.
Okay.
Well, your thoughts are fresh, so put them out there.
The biggest thing that I always heard people talking about into the, you know, because I couldn't completely avoid spoilers. But the biggest thing that I saw people saying was, they just redid episode 4. No, they didn't. There's plenty of callbacks to episode 4, but there's also plenty of callbacks to episode 5 and episode 6. Now, there are times where I watch this movie, and I'm like, oh, when they were doing the final battle, I'm like, oh, of course there's a trench. You know, stuff like that. There's a hole in the side of it.
This is the opening remarks.
Of course he flies into the thing and shoots it up from the inside. You know, stuff like that. I'm like, I could see plenty of reverence to the original trilogy. I didn't think that this was a remake. I saw plenty of callbacks, but I love this movie.
Red Letter Media said soft reboot.
Yeah, I saw plenty of callbacks to the original trilogy.
It was not just a pound for pound remake. Just, it was a soft reboot.
Just like you saw in the J.J. Abrams remake of Star Trek. You saw plenty of callbacks to the original series.
The Kobayashi Maru. You saw his recruitment, his backstory, his naming.
This was a relatively original story. I will say I didn't expect, even when they were on the bridge, I didn't completely expect Kylo Ren to kill Han Solo.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Which is probably what ruined me from the trailers, because when my first thought when I saw that opening night, I saw that and I was like, this is it. This is the part where Han Solo dies. Because I had seen the section of the trailer where it showed Finn and Rey up on the bridge watching, and the one shot.
Spoiler alert, by the way, it's 4 weeks. We talked about this.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks. Yeah. By the way,
We usually do a lead into that.
Right.
But I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I saw the trailer.
I did literally completely try to avoid trailers,
which is good because
Rhonda, could really screw with Matt right now. Say I honestly haven't seen it. Just do it.
Oh, I've already.
She's already seen it twice. I already remember that.
Say you were just kidding and you're trying to get nerd crap. Do it. It'll make Matt feel so bad.
No,
right now.
I mean, literally,
I can see his face. He's like, Pete, don't screw with me.
I get what you're saying, because you could see the cool thing is that at least, you know, in the original trilogy, and now we're completely discounting episodes 1, 2, and 3.
No, you cannot
hold on,
do
hold
that.
Hold on. When I'm saying original trilogy, I'm talking 4, 5, and 6.
Of course, that's the common
talking
nomenclature for the actual. Yeah,
they didn't bring up the concept of Vader still having good in him until episode 6.
True.
This is like 6 hours. I hope you're seated, Rhonda.
They did it.
Get that ice cream and get some coffee too.
They did it right from the beginning in this one, and not only did the good guy say it, but Kylo Ren, sitting in his room talking to the burnout Hulk of Vader's face, said, I felt the pull of the light side.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it right from the beginning of the tug of him, the conflict in himself.
Right.
So I think that's why I didn't see him killing Han Solo, even when they were on the bridge, until he actually did it.
What was that, Rhonda?
What did you guys think of it? Frank said that he gave a description. What did you guys think?
So yeah, what she's getting at is, Frank, was the movie good?
Yeah, he said it was good. He said it was good.
I really want to go see it again.
That's a really
good... It's almost like my standpoint. Frank, you want to go see it? I'll see it again. I'll see it again.
And at no time have I ever wanted to go see another movie in theater. Most of the time, I'm perfectly willing to say, no, I'll wait for it to come out on DVD or cable or something. No, I want to go see it.
Why do you think I was so happy?
When we left the theater, you remember I talked about it before we walked in. I said, you know, the one good thing about going to the 9:40 a.m. showing is there's the opportunity, if we want to just turn around and go back and see it again.
And if you would have brought I went right back in.
I was 2 seconds away from saying, let's go.
The only reason I didn't remind you buttholes about that is I wanted to cook dinner for us. And I'm like, I'm really hungry. There's dinner at home. I already prepped the chicken.
Yeah.
Because, so Pete and Matt, you guys feel the same way.
Pete didn't realize that, when we're coming, he came up and picked me up from work last night. He didn't realize that it was a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. When we watched the movie, it didn't feel like 2 hours.
Frank said it's like what? 2 hours and 20 minutes?
16.
He obviously had read that, and I was like, it is? It felt like maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah. When you're watching
the movie. It's fast.
Yeah.
It was, it happens
it wasn't even that. It was that even if it was fast paced, even if you can make that argument, I felt engaged the whole time.
Yes. That doesn't detract
from... Even if it was an hour movie, yeah. I didn't lose any time. I didn't gain any time in the movie. It was like, oh, that was a good story.
There was not that typical mid-movie
lull. Yeah.
There wasn't, I guess I can go take a bathroom break.
No, yeah. they kept
when you guys did that opening night, I'm like, what are you doing?
But there
I
were,
had to piss real bad.
But there
really
were,
bad.
But there were a lot of, I'll put it, really, moments.
Which, the original Star Wars had that too.
No, I mean, just because having seen the original trilogy, I'm like, oh, okay, really?
The first one,
Desert Planet. Okay,
we'll get to that. That's overtime.
Right, go ahead, yeah.
Because that's when we go super deep in this.
Right. So you guys feel the same way that it was like a soft reboot?
Yes, but okay. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm.
Oh yeah.
When people say this online, is it's basically episode four? And
no,
my reaction
not.
Is
no, it's not.
No, my characters are different.
I can see.
I have not heard that.
I've
heard it a lot. I can see how they
Frank
might
was
have
avoiding spoilers and he found it.
Yeah, I couldn't avoid that. I can see how they might have thought, oh, they really had to blow up another Death Star.
Here's the from a simplistic view, they're right.
Yes.
Right.
Looking at the base elements of the movie as a hero is on a desert planet, gets called up into a greater conflict, and goes and destroys a giant star base while confronting a big bad.
Yeah,
that's a New Hope.
I'm going
to
say
but
one
is that
reduced
a
down to four sentences.
Is that a bad movie is my question. I always make
no.
to that. That's
no.
not a bad movie.
I will say one thing, though. I am a little bit concerned about the shitty training Kylo Ren got.
Which they're going to fix in episode eight.
That's overtime.
Yeah.
Because,
we'll get to that.
No. Because, not because of what she did, because she's force sensitive. They've established that pretty quick.
Yes, absolutely.
So Rhonda,
Finn was able to hang with him for a few minutes.
He was Kylo Ren was fucking with him the whole entire time, though.
It doesn't matter. No,
it wasn't until he got the shoulder wound. He was like, okay, this needs to end now.
Exactly,
right now.
Well,
we're done with this.
The thing about it is, they were mirroring a difference between Finn and Rey.
Yeah,
Finn is a trained soldier. He knows how to use weapons.
Yes!
Yes, absolutely.
Yes! I agree. But
so,
and it's absolutely...
To go toe-to-toe, I mean, obviously...
but he didn't go toe-to-toe.
No, he didn't.
No.
Finn
wouldn't have lasted 2 seconds against a properly trained Jedi.
Very true. But there's other factors of this. He has also been a stormtrooper specifically. No,
let
listen.
Rhonda talk. Let Rhonda talk. She's the person that's way outside the room. Go ahead, Rhonda.
It is obvious that Finn was not a match in that fight. But it is
very
contrasted
much so.
By Rey, who had no training. I mean, the woman trained herself with a stick to fight off thugs and bandits that have no training. I mean, it's just little skirmishes. And it was obvious when she was fighting him that she had no training, the way she was trying to stab him with the lightsaber. And that's why it was so dramatic. The point was made when she let go.
But the training that she gave herself with a bow staff is a lot more conducive to lightsaber fighting than Finn's supposed training with a blaster.
But the difference I think that the fighting was showing is the difference between the Jedi mindset, the mental training, and the emotional training versus the rote training.
That's what I'm getting to is that either Kylo Ren got some shitty ass training.
He did.
Or he chose to fucking ignore it.
Rhonda, we have 11 minutes left on my clock.
We have.
I want you to stay for a little bit of overtime, even if you can't stay for all of our drunken overtime. Just because we're going to go in depth on this shit. Me and Matt have been spending the last 4 weeks talking about this with other people that saw the movie, and I don't know what points are being discussed. Stay for as much as overtime as you are comfortable with.
Sure.
Okay. There we go.
I liked the movie.
I did.
I do not think that it is going to be the best new Star Wars movie. I think it is the best reboot.
If
we had to rank it.
Oh, you want me to do this? I've already done this.
I've kind of already done this.
Go ahead, Frank. It's definitely better than 1, 2, and 3.
Hands down.
Well, 2's my favorite, so.
And 3's one of my favorites.
3's one of his favorites.
3 was good, but this blows 3 out of the water.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
And you guys know that I personally like 4 better than. A lot of people think that Empire Strikes Back was the best of the original trilogy.
After all the research, which is basically me rewatching all the movies, I personally, I'll start it off for once, I'm 2, 3, 7. Episode 2, Episode 5, Episode 7.
Really? You're going to put Episode 2?
I love the clone troopers almost as much as I love the army and military. I loved badass clone soldiers that came in and blew the crap up out of Jedi and Sith.
See,
and I'm that guy. I'm like, the clone troopers were the most badass part of episode. The previous 2 hours and whatever minutes of episode 2, I can ignore because there's that moment the clone troopers swoop in on gunships with lasers.
Now, just throwing this out here, this would be my having only thought about it for 2 minutes order.
Mm-hmm.
4, 3,
mm-hmm.
5,
mm-hmm.
7,
mm-hmm.
6, 2, 1.
Yep. All right.
Mine is 5 because there is so much character growth in episode 5.
That's why it's second on mine. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And even if you're not a Star Wars fan, if you're a fan of cinema, episode 5 is like it's tight direction. It's tight writing. The acting is on point, and the character growth through the whole entire movie is fantastic. Then I go 7. It is the second best Star Wars movie ever made, currently.
Yes. Yeah. Critically.
Yeah. Not even critically, just in,
objectively. Objectively. And critically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Then it goes 4, just because I like 4. It's cool. You get introduced to the world. Then 6.
Yeah. If you look.
See,
past
4 was literally my 4th. 4, 6, 2, 3, 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go dig out the videotapes that we have in the garage of the original unaltered trilogy.
you have that?
Do not speak of that on the internet. His Dark Lord name shall be summoned, and he shall destroy those recordings for the name of the good and his artistic vision. Praise be his name, George Lucas incarnate.
Yeah, and then it goes 3, 1, 2.
All right.
312,
yeah.
Rhonda?
I'm thinking. I hadn't thought about this ahead of time. I would definitely...
I, we finally put her on the balls of her feet.
Matter of fact, if you ask me again, I don't know if I could give you the same order that I gave you 2 minutes ago.
I will.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I would... I think I would go 4, 5, 3, 7, 3, 6, 2, 1. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just about what I gave, wasn't it?
The reason why episode
so
one.
Out of seven films, we're all ranking episode, seeing it 2 times for 3, 1 time for 1.
Seven is one, seven is second or third. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all grew up with the original classic. Well, Matt's a little different, but I know that story. You guys don't. We all grew up with the original trilogy.
Rhonda and I got to see the actual unaltered trilogies in the theater.
Yeah.
I got to see them on VHS. I had all three. Okay. Matt only had Empire Strikes Back to grow up
Empire
with.
And Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And so I'm like, four is still pretty magical. It really is.
You can't get around it. Four set the stage for everything.
This is the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
But did I hate episode 7? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What was there to hate? Really?
There wasn't. Now, Rhonda.
There was nothing to hate. There was nothing to, not like midichlorians, not like Jar Jar. There was nothing to hate. Right. There's just the finesse of it.
Right. Now, yeah. Rhonda, I think you'll agree with me on this. I intentionally tried to not get super overly excited ahead of time about episode 7. Because we got burned by episode 1.
Correct.
Matt watched everything and read everything. I did not.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to avoid everything.
I watched the trailers officially released.
I wasn't able to avoid completely everything, but I was able to avoid...
Not with us in the group.
I was able to avoid enough of it that there was...
Mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I avoided as much as possible.
I went back and I read every article pre-episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
All those articles are fucking wrong.
Yeah, every bit of it.
They guessed wrong. Right. They supposed wrong. Besides Kylo Ren being the bad guy and Rey being the heroine and Finn being a hero.
But I mean,
they were all wrong.
Right, but I mean, even from the time it came out until I actually got to go see it today, I still intentionally tried to avoid as much as I could. Now, the Starkiller got spoiled for me.
It's too hard to avoid over 4 weeks.
No, I saw a picture of it. I didn't see.
That's a spoiler, but yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I didn't see, you know, on what I saw on Facebook, I didn't see the fact that they were actually using a star to feed the thing.
which is cool. Do you guys actually think that the Starkiller base was a clone of the Death Star?
Not really. Kind of. The cool thing about the Starkiller is when I watched it, I'm like, A, long range. B,
really, really long range.
It's firing through hyperspace.
B, multiple targets.
So Rhonda?
Yeah.
Do you think it was a clone of the Death Star?
No. I mean, I thought back in one of the previous episodes that they mentioned that they had a better plan.
Did they?
What?
Am I misremembering that?
No, I think you are.
Do you know by chance what episode?
Well, it would have to be 5. No.
Of course, here was the funny thing.
Well, the Return of the Jedi Death Star was roughly 6 times the size and mass of the first. Well, there was a natural progression of size and power.
Well, no, here was the funny thing I thought about.
It's got to have been in five or six, I thought that they were going to rebuild it.
Well, here was the funny thing. In episode 3, right at the end, you saw the skeleton of them building the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it took them 18 years to build that fucker.
In episode 2, you saw the plans.
Right.
No, it wasn't. Well, yeah, totally
right.
18 years.
But what I mean is 18, because they didn't finish it in test fire the damn thing until episode 4, which is 18 years, give or take.
Let's be honest. The amount of technical research to do to right. have a daunting thing like that. And I think then, we're up against time.
Right. And then
oh.
in 4 years, they managed to build a second one that was 6 times the size.
1 minute warning.
Yeah. So we are going to...
Rhonda, after this, you can leave whenever you end want.
If you're
well,
listening...
Thank you.
If you are
well,
listening,
you know what I meant.
Yes, I do.
If you are listening live, we are going to get the hell out of here.
Are you saying you consented?
You are going to have... you're going to have to listen to the overtime episode if you want to hear the probably, well, Matt, Pete, and I at least, probably going on for about 4 more hours.
I hope Rhonda.
We're out of here. Rhonda should be here at least for a little bit. See everybody in overtime. Out.